This is the MJ Morning Show Podcast. Initiate procedure. Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
All right, so it's Election Day. Pretty big news. Election Day, this is November the 8th. Midterm elections are here. Ladies and gentlemen, in Florida, polls open typically at 7 a.m. and close at 7 p.m. So whatever you do, whatever you want to vote for, however you want it to go, make sure you vote and utilize your right, your privilege to vote. Don't blow it off. You know, typically midterm elections, the voter turnout is less, but pretty charged up. So just make sure, whatever you do, wherever you stand, just make sure you vote. Now, the question is Election Day, is that the biggest story here as we welcome you to the MJ? What was that squeak?
It was just
a microphone.
Yeah, we could really use some WD-40 on everything.
You know what? This whole place, this whole studio would be much better off if we just skip the WD-40, get a more flammable accelerant, and just light the whole place on fire and burn this thing to the ground so they'd be forced to...
Then the whole building would be burned.
Yeah,
listen, I'm thinking even like just a couple of little tape recorder microphones and just... Go to the Guitar Center and get a little Yamaha mixer. That
might Election Day is not the biggest story today. It's not the biggest headline. It's not what people care about.
Okay, tough guy. What do you think the biggest story is?
It's got to be the delay.
Yes, and the delay has got a lot of people asking, what the hell is going on? What is this delay?
This is the things that conspiracies are made of.
What's happened?
What's going on with the Powerball?
What's happened?
Come on, what's going on?
What's happened?
Why was it delayed? Why, when people were tuning in to the big Powerball drawing last night?
Good evening, everyone. This is Powerball. I'm Laura Johnson. Because of a technical problem tonight, we are unable to bring you the Powerball drawing at this time. As soon as we're able to resolve the issue and conduct the drawing, it will be available for viewing on Powerball.com and on our YouTube channel, Powerball 39. The Powerball lotteries take pride in the strict standards of this game, and our rules require that the drawing be delayed until we can ensure that all game procedures have been successfully completed. As always, the Powerball drawing will be supervised by lottery security and an independent auditing firm that will certify the official drawing results. So make sure you hold on to those tickets
okay.
And check Powerball.com for the winning Powerball number results.
Okay.
Good night, everyone, and good luck.
All right, so what the hell is going on? A technical problem? What did Winona Ryder take all the ping pong balls?
What has to technically go wrong for them not to be able to do it?
So I thought I saw somewhere maybe early this morning that some people were still processing ticket sales and not every ticket was issued or not every deal was settled.
Wait a minute, they printed the tickets, but not everything was registered by the computer. What does that mean? Who knows? Let's not speculate. What I do know is they said check the website. You know, their website crashed. So I'm on their...
I bet.
Well, hold on. I checked their website yesterday afternoon, and it wasn't the normal website. I went to Powerball.com, and it was not the regular website. It was some rudimentary, kind of bare bones, like a splash page. All of the options where you can click on different things, gone. All they have is a simplistic web page where all it is, it's like a black screen. Yeah, look at this thing. You can't click on anything. You go to Powerball, and I'm holding it up now to MJ TV. Hey, Andrew, can you grab my camera, please? And I'm holding this up to MJ TV. And folks, there are many ways. You can listen to us live, obviously, on 104.7 FM on Q105. Listen on the actual FM radio. You can stream us on all the big streaming platforms. You can go to myq105.com. You can go to myq105.com. You can go to mjmorningshow.com. You can, you know, listen to us on the podcast later on. You can, I mean, there's, watch MJ TV now live or watch it later on a replay. So I'm holding this up right now, and it's just a black screen, and it just says Powerball at the top. Next drawing, November 7, 2022, at 10:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Estimated jackpot, $1.90 billion. Cash value, $929.1 million. And then it says, results pending. So they haven't drawn yet. But look at the website. The website is not the normal site where you can click on the bars and go to all the different areas. It doesn't have all the different games. None of the other games that they, nothing else is on here. Nothing is on their website other than a simplistic splash page. No rules. You can't find the odds. Nothing. So their website, it seems like they're having all kinds of technical problems. Somebody check the refrigerator in the Powerball break room. See if that's still running.
It's all the Fritz.
Hello, Powerball. Is your refrigerator running?
Maybe the blower and the machine shorted out.
You better go catch it.
Somebody grab a blow dryer.
Crap. Jerry. The blower burnt out of the big machine that tosses the ping pong balls around.
Damn it. Get another blow dryer in here.
So who the hell knows what happened?
Sounds fishy to me. Sounds like there's some sort of scam-a-lama going.
All right, the other big story, obviously, is this weather deal and this subtropical storm, Nicole, and you know, the impacts that it might have on the Tampa Bay area. Did you see some of the latest tracking, though? That it's pushing it a little further north up the Florida coast, and whereas yesterday a lot of the modeling had the storm like rolling through, let's say, West Palm, Boca Raton,
right.
Lantana, Green Acres, Lake Worth.
Okay.
Should I keep going with these little bitty places?
It's like you're giving shout outs to people. Okay.
And then it was going to like head in over there and then cut across the state. And then they had it going right over the Tampa Bay area again. So cutting across, almost like across State Road 60, and even stopping at Yeehaw Junction, baby.
Yeehaw.
But, you know, that little discount place is gone.
There's a big convenience store there.
That whole place looks like a bomb hit it. Like, there's all kinds of vacant lots and concrete pads. Yeehaw Junction. Oh, and that old historic landmark, like hotel kind of place and restaurant, that thing's like collapsed.
Was it the Cactus Inn or something?
I don't think it was the Cactus Inn.
Whenever I drive through there, I always pretend, what would I do if I lived here? Where would I go? And like every building I pass, like dilapidated building, I'm like, oh, I'd go there for dinner. And I mean,
you'd be Roxanne going into the saloon.
Hey, she's the girl with the straight teeth.
Thank you, Fester.
All right, I didn't mean to insult anybody from you.
Now,
I'm sorry, guys.
But it was going to come like across State Road 60 and through Lake Wales and, you know, past the Bock Tower and then right over to the Tampa Bay area. And then right over my house, it looked like it was going to take a right-hand turn and then move up. And now, if you look, Fester, go to the 5 o'clock. If you go to the 5 o'clock, now it's they've pushed it further north. I mean, they've got it significantly north of the Tampa Bay area now as it rolls into the state and then hooks to the north.
Can you go back to the intensity of Nicole? So is she planning on being a hurricane or just a tropical?
No.
I missed that.
They have it forecast to turn into a Category 1 as it hits the Florida East Coast. So you got it right now. It's pretty significantly east of the Bahamas, but it looks like it's going to cross over the Bahamas, but the easternmost Bahamas, and then hook into the Florida East Coast. And again, now it's looking like, I don't know, Fort Pierce, somewhere, you know, in that area. But it looks like the trajectory is moving further north, 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 north. You know, this will be a Jacksonville deal before you know it. But right now they have it sitting, I would say, off Fort Pierce, off Stewart, as a Category 1. And after it leaves the Bahamas and it gets into the warmer waters and unobstructed waters, you cross the Gulf Stream over there, they have it intensifying into a Category 1 and then losing steam pretty quickly and then turning into a tropical storm over the state. But it looks like it could be like more of an Orlando deal now, like hooking and turning over Orlando and then up toward, I don't know, like Chiefland and up in that area. What are you laughing at?
Chiefland is just such a funny name.
Yeah, and
Chiefland.
You're saying it in ways like you've traveled there and you've spent time there. Whoa, you sound like such an authority.
Michelle's sister lives in Chiefland.
Okay, so why don't you tone it down?
Why did you tone it down?
MJ has kin in Chiefland.
Okay, you were talking like you did.
And by the way, that city's going to be canceled because the whole Chief thing, you know?
Right.
And, you know, the mascot is, you know, guy with a headdress and everything anyway. So we got a lot of crap going on today. We're just getting started here. It is the MJ Morning Show. Spread the word. The MJ Morning Show is back every morning live 6 to 10 a.m. here on 104.7 Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. You know, I was watching the World Series, and this thing was blaring like on the PA system. You know, the music they play inside the ballparks, Four Non Blondes and What's Up. And I say, hey, what's going on? And that was blaring in the background.
Little known fact, the music selector for the Houston Astros is a big fan of Q105. streams it every morning.
Yeah, in Houston.
In Houston, yeah, big fan, yeah.
I got a buddy who's a huge Astros fan. And
huge ass Astros fan.
Huge Astros fan.
Pretty great, buddy. Thank you.
Pretty buddy.
I got a buddy who commentates for the Astros, Todd Callis. He used to be here.
Wow, really?
What did he do for the...
He's their play-by-play guy. Yeah.
Oh, radio.
Yeah. No.
TV.
Television. And he used to be the Rays, the roving reporter.
Oh, very nice.
Years. Yeah. Cool. Fantastic. MJ has a fan of the team. Roxanne knows the announcer for the team.
Everybody in the Tampa Bay area does know.
And of course, the Astros, weren't they the ones that were banging on a trash can to deliver signals and cheat, right?
Oh, well, they cheated on their World Series win like 4 years ago or 5 years ago.
You got the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hey, folks, MJ here. Quick question. I mentioned I had a little mystery amongst the staff here this morning. And would anyone like to volunteer and raise their hand on why I have a question, why I deem something mysterious this morning among the staff, whether it's Roxanne, whether it's Fester, whether it's Froggy, whether it's Andrew, our producer? Would anybody, you know what, I got to give Andrew some kind of a name. Yeah, you're going to be Coco the Monkey from now on.
Wow, that's going way back.
That's what you're going to be, Andrew. Right. I got to give you a nickname.
All right, hold on.
What?
If Andrew gets the coolest nickname on the show, for just pushing some buttons back there?
Yeah. Why don't you call him Slappy or something?
T-Bone. T-Bone.
T-Bone.
Well, how about Humpy? That's what George Costanza wanted. He wanted to be called T-Bone, and that's when the boss said, no, you're Coco the Monkey.
T-Bone. That's a good name.
Anyway, so would anyone like to raise their hand and volunteer why I'm asking what is out of the ordinary this morning among one of you guys? Anybody want to raise their hand?
I don't know. I'm wearing pants. I mean, that's about as much you can expect from me. I don't know.
Anybody?
What? No. I have no idea.
Yeah, everybody seems the same as they normally are.
It's not. And it's you, Roxanne. Why were you here dramatically early? Usually, and really, for the last like 6 months or so, you're you're running in here at the last minute. You're all disheveled. Seriously, you walk in when we're opening up the microphones to, you know.
Yeah, because, I'll tell you why I'm here early.
Why are you here
early? Because of the time change. Now I can get it. I enjoy this time of year, and I don't feel as tired when I wake up.
That's crap. What were you doing? Why were you here early?
Just stuff down the hall in the studio.
What were you doing down the hall?
There's stuff that happens on these radio stations that needs...
Were you recording something?
Yeah, I was recording a bunch of stuff.
Okay, yeah, because...
Had some extra recordings to do.
But why were you here so early?
To do the recordings?
I realize that, but why wouldn't you do it during normal business hours?
Because, she wants to be here as much as you do after the show?
That's exactly right. And I have an engagement today that I have to take care of, so I can't stick around after my midday shift. Oh. I can't stay around like until 5 p.m. like I normally do.
Who's getting married?
And so I have to...
Not Roxanne and Dig Dug, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. Stop.
Have you guys come up with an alternative date yet? I mean, is there anything on the calendar for You and Dig Dug?
Doug.
When can we expect the wedding? When is that coming?
I want a party.
Hold on. You said it was going to be November, like right now.
Yeah.
About a year ago, you said it was going to be this month, November of 22, and no wedding.
But we've gone on like 15 vacations. We've blown our vacation. We blew our wedding budget with vacations.
When are you talking about getting married? When is it going to happen?
Eventually, it's going to happen.
Are you talking again? Because a year ago, you said November 22, and this is coming and going, and no wedding is planned. So is there another date or time frame, a possibility set for you and Dig Dug getting married?
He brought up December yesterday.
December, like next month?
Yeah. And then I was like,
how about next week, babe?
Yeah, I was like, let's just wait until 2023, because we've waited. Although, is there a tax benefit to December?
I don't think there's any tax benefit.
No, I don't think so.
Hey, so we have a controversy.
Ooh.
There is a controversy. You see what's going on with the Venice High School band?
No.
Why Venice High School?
So Venice, which is just below Sarasota, and I know we do have some listeners. The signal can get down to Venice. We have a lot of Sarasota listeners, a lot of friends. You know, for instance, my buddy Andrew from Advanced... you know, the home theater and...
He listens?
Oh, every morning.
Andrew, how nice.
Andrew texts me all kinds of things. If something's going on or I'm asking a question, he's texting me the answer.
Nice.
All right, so we got the Venice High School band with a little dust-up, a little kerfuffle, a little issue with Disney.
Disney?
Yeah.
That's right.
This is... it comes down to the whole Indian mascot deal.
Oh, God.
The Venice High School marching band... has been ixnayed, has been 86th. They're not going to perform at Walt Disney World. They were having like this little disagreement back and forth, and it's all because the Venice High School mascot is an Indian.
Oh.
And Disney originally said, okay, all right, you're fine. And the band was set to perform November 12th. And there was some kind of morning parade deal, and the Venice High School band was going to be at Disney, but then Disney has now rescinded the offer.
What kind of meat is venison?
It's deer.
Deer.
Oh, my God. That's perfect. The Venice venison. Put a deer on the side of their helmet.
Yes. The Venice venisons?
Yeah, why not? The Venice. What are they? The cheese?
How about the Venice vermin?
Or the Venice vermin. Put a rat on their helmet.
The Venice vermin.
Let's think outside the box here, guys.
Now, here's what happened. So Disney, they reneged or they rescinded their offer, and they said they got a policy change, and they sent a letter. Disney sends a letter, I guess, to the principal, or it was an email that they rescinded the invitation. So the principal... of the school then notified the band, notified the parents that kids weren't going to Disney to march, that Disney pulled the plug because of the Indian mascot at Venice High School. The principal down there is Zoltan Koretzly.
Zoltan?
The principal's name is Zoltan? Like the Venice Zoltan?
I'm Zoltan! I'm the principal Zoltan! From Venice High School.
Can you turn me to a 12-year-old boy, Zoltan?
He gets on the PA system at the Venice High School and says, I'm Zoltan.
Whoa. It's Hungarian.
Hold on. Are you thinking of Zoltar? What is the...
Zoltar.
Are you thinking of Zoltar?
You didn't get my big joke?
I got it.
Yeah, but isn't that Zoltar?
Yeah, that's close enough.
It's not Zoltan, it's so Zoltar.
Almost looks like it, yeah.
So according to this letter that went out from the principal, Zoltan Koretzly, he wrote, Disney has stated that they're not allowing any depiction of Native Americans to be portrayed during events. And of course, the Venice High School mascot is an Indian. And in the logo, there's an Indian Native American headdress in front of the letter V. And according to the letter, Disney gave the school the option that if they wanted to let the marching band go up and march and perform, that they would have to cover or alter the logo And the principal and also the Sarasota County School Board, they said, no, we're not gonna do that.
Dude, the last time I was on a Disney cruise, they were showing Peter Pan.
Yep.
And the kids were running around. This was on the big screen in front of the pool.
Going,
yeah. And they're playing. They're going, I'm an Indian. Ooh. And I'm like, what is this? So they're showing it in the, on their cruise ships.
This is crazy. So Zoltan, the principal, he said that they tried to negotiate with Disney on several times. They tried to get the park to reconsider. That the band is great. They deserve to be recognized, quote, without having to change our name or cover our identity. The students apparently still plan to go to the park, but they're just not going to be able to perform.
Yeah, screw that.
Yeah, well, I'm staying home then.
You know, you've got a number of these things. Back in March, Disney World had an issue with a Texas high school. They have a drill team from some Texas school called the Indianettes.
Oh, God.
And then in a previously recorded video, it shows members of the drill team actually going,
no.
As the drum is pounding. And
they're Indians.
You know, that's the war cry, right? That's the old war cry.
So says the white man.
And, oh, wait a sec. And then I'm not making this up. all right, I want you to tell me, what am I making up? I'm going to give you allegedly something else that this Texas Indianette drill team did as part of their act. And I want you to tell me, guys, which is real, which is fake. Are they both real or are they both fake?
Okay.
So something else.
Are you going to bust out a rain dance right now?
Hang on a minute. Hold on. So one of the things this Texas Indianette drill team did was they would also chant, scalp them, scalp them.
What? Okay,
that's number one. And also part of the routine, they would drag an old cigar store wooden Indian by a rope. All right, so which of those is real? Which of those is fake? Are they both real?
Why
are they
Indian drag?
Are they both fake?
Do you want me to recuse myself from this? Because I think I know the answer.
Or
because my best friend sent me the story.
Really?
And I saw the video.
Really?
It was insane. So.
Or you could just answer it.
The first one is true.
Okay, the first one, scalp them, is true.
Yep.
What about the cigar store Indian, Roxanne?
True or false?
Why would the Indians drag another Indian? That's stupid. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
How
did they do it?
You guys better stop.
That one's false. They do not. But
the other one is insane.
They chant scalp them. So the drill team, they chant scalp them.
Disney didn't review their skit before they did it.
But they do not drag an old Indian cigar statue.
Does FSU still have the guy that goes and shoots the
arrow in
all this stuff is so politically
incorrect.
Problematic these days. Listen, the Cleveland Indians, they changed their name to the Guardians of the Galaxy or something. And then the Washington Commanders replaced the Washington Redskins. So there we go. That's the latest. So we have. Oh, and locally, hey, the Chamberlain
High School.
Yeah, the Chamberlain High School.
What are they now?
They switch from the Chiefs
to the Chafings. Yes, the Chamberlain Chafings.
Very uncomfortable.
They're the Storm now.
They have the Storm. Yeah. Chamberlain Storm.
They're the Chamberlain Storm.
The mascot's going to be Jim Cantore.
Nice one, Humpy.
All right, we're not giving Andrew a nickname. Andrew's fine.
I got to give Andrew a nickname. All right, I got morons in the news next, so stand by. Morons in the news in minutes here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Let's do it. 6:42. It's the MJ Morning Show. MJ and the crew here on a Tuesday, Election Day. And got a question for you. If you miss your flight, if you're upset over missing a flight, let's say your flight has been canceled, let's say you're running late for a flight, you know, you get a flat tire, whatever the story is. If your flight has a problem and you don't get on your flight, what do you do? What is the best reaction that you can have as a member of the traveling public?
Are you at the airport already, or are you on the way?
I don't think that's necessary.
Okay, so it's not like punching the gate agent or something?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, just in general. You know, you're upset, your flight's been canceled, you're running late, you missed your flight.
I went through that. And I went off on mine. I sent you the video.
Oh, dude, that's right.
That video will never be seen.
Come, I have it.
No. Delete it.
No, I have it. It's on my. I have it.
No.
Oh, we gotta post that. Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. Don't post that.
Is this from like 3 months ago or 2 months ago?
When my flight got canceled and I had to sleep in the airport. And this I was is when so mad.
Froggy had to go to Indianapolis for a silly shelving show.
Silly.
Yeah. And then Froggy gets into an argument with the Southwest gate agent.
He was so pompous.
Well, sometimes you get frustrated because they have no solutions for you.
But it's not his fault. I mean,
he was acting like a little jerk is what he was doing, and being happy that we were all canceled.
He wasn't being happy. It doesn't. You think the guy is?
What is it called? Fantasia?
What?
Fudge?
Oh, he's having
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfantasia.
What are you trying to say? You trying to say Fantasia from Disney?
Schadenfreude is what he was feeling.
Schadenfreude. How did you get? What were you even saying?
I was confused for a second, but he was like, happy that we were all.
Yeah, he knew there was an F in the word somewhere. Yeah.
And Fantasia is like you're fantasizing that someone's miserable. So,
okay. Schadenfreude, the German word Schadenfreude, means that you take pleasure in other people's misery.
And that's what he was doing. He was taking it all in.
He was not taking it in.
Watch the video. He's smirking.
I have the video. In fact, we'll put it on the website this morning. let's take Froggy's really out-of-control video of him yelling at a Southwest gate agent at the Indianapolis airport. Let's go ahead and post that up on MJMorningShow.com. That's what I think we ought to do.
Add some clicks.
Listen, no gate agent with an airline is happy if a flight is canceled and it makes the passengers' lives miserable. Okay. Anyway, let me tell the story here.
Please. What'd they do?
We got a Utah guy.
Oh.
Upset. Because his flight was canceled. So his response to his flight being canceled and him being upset is to carjack a number of vehicles and then crash them.
Carjack them, line them up, and then crash them with another car?
No, you carjack the vehicle and you smash that car that you're driving into other vehicles.
Okay. Yeah, Roxy, I don't think this guy pulled off his own demolition derby. that's what you're thinking. No, he didn't do that.
This is nuts. 20-year-old guy. 20!
Wow.
Son, this is no way to start your life here, Pally. A 20-year-old guy in Salt Lake City went on a carjacking spree and crashed into multiple cars on Friday after he was ticked off because his flight from Utah to Denver was canceled. John Joseph Thomas Green.
Isn't that like a nursery rhyme? John Joseph Jingle Time.
No, that's John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Okay,
yeah, it's John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. Okay,
that's his uncle's name.
It's as many names as John Joseph Thomas Green.
He became very upset at a ticket counter employee. Froggy. So this guy became very upset at the employee at the ticket counter at the Salt Lake City International Airport after he was told that he could not buy a same-day ticket to Denver and later caused a disruption at the airport over a flight cancellation.
It's not a fun feeling.
When police responded to the Salt Lake Airport about 5 a.m., officers learned that Green allegedly forced a driver out of an SUV at the airport and then sped away in that vehicle. The vehicle belonged to just someone going to the airport and dropping somebody off.
That's right.
And then carjacked their car.
In the drop-off lane, you leave the engine running, you get out from behind the driver's seat.
Isn't there cops everywhere out there?
There's no parking in the hijack zone or the carjack zone.
That sounded real.
Didn't that sound real? So this guy then crashed that SUV into a silver car, made a U-turn, then smashed into a white BMW SUV, which actually it should be an SAV, because BMW calls their SUVs SAVs, as in sport activity vehicles. Hey, man, your wife has a BMW SAV.
Oh, she does.
She's got a Fields BMW X5.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Roxanne's got a Fields BMW X5. I've got an X5.
That's right.
All right, come on, guys. All right, so according to authorities, he then exited the SUV and then tried multiple times to force a female driver out of the BMW and then tried to take that one. But cops said that she fought back and that her seatbelt kept her contained. And this guy Green was trying to yank her out, but the seatbelt was keeping her in. Well, good for the seatbelt. Another reason why you should buckle up. Buckle up, America. Yeah. Click it or ticket.
Save yourself a carjacking.
Exactly. All right. So then following that unsuccessful carjacking, this guy Green jumped back into the SUV that he stole from the person at the airport. From the no parking in the red zone, the white zone is for immediate loading and unloading. So then he took the SUV that he originally stole from the airport and drove towards Salt Lake and smashed into another car and nearly hit a building. Following that crash, police said that Green again ditched the SUV, then carjacks a Dodge Durango.
Whoa, he's going through all the manufacturers.
Crashes into five vehicles on Interstate 80.
Wow.
And now they're trying to figure out if he had a gun during the hijacking. Deputies finally caught up with this guy, Green. Authorities said they heard him throwing rocks at vehicles along I-80.
How mad is this guy?
In order to get one to stop. So he was throwing rocks at vehicles in order to try to get a car to stop, like pull over and say, what are you doing? So he can then carjack that one.
So here's a picture, MJ, of a car with a busted windshield that actually got hit by the rock.
That's the Toyota Tacoma that he carjacked.
Jeez. Right,
so
at
then,
what point, I have to ask a question, at what point was he notified that his flight was delayed or canceled or whatever?
Well, there are two things. He tried to buy like a same-day ticket like very closely, but then the story says that he was angry at a cancellation as well. So I don't know what to tell you.
My reason I'm asking this is like, did he make, so he never even made his way through TSA. So he could have had a gun with him.
You're right.
He just made it to the gate or to the counter.
It is possible the guy had a gun. Is this not an insane story?
Is this not a really effective way to test all the brands of cars before you make your purchase?
Really? Like crash test them on your own?
Well, yeah, first
don't wait for the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. You do it yourself.
I mean, if I'm an aggressive driver, does the BMW handle one way? Does a Dodge Durango handle another way? I tried this Toyota
during
Tacoma.
Carjacking?
Yes.
How easily can you enter a car?
Anyway, so he tries to actively carjack this Toyota Tacoma. And then the driver of the Toyota had taken the keys out of the ignition, prevented Green from stealing the car, and it allowed the deputies to pull him out and take him into custody. This guy is in trouble. This guy's going to do some serious time.
I think I handled my cancellation better than this guy.
Not much.
I'm posting the video of Froggy going nuts on the Southwest guy. I'm holding that as blackmail material.
I don't get
material.
Mad very often, but oh, bully.
If you're a burglar and you get shot by this guy, you better give up burglary. All right. I'm going to give you another story in just a second because we're running a little late here and we'll continue with some additional morons. And folks, the morons in the news segment, it's designed to make you feel good. You know, with a name like Schmuckers, it's got to be good. It's designed to make you feel good because no matter how like down in the dumps you are, when you hear these stories about this guy probably going to jail for 25 years, for carjacking and all kinds of crap. I mean, this ought to make you feel good. So if you're a little depressed today, I'm going to make you feel better with these moron stories. Hold on. We'll do chunk two next on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It is the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. MJ and the crew here at 7:01. And another Disney story today. And, you know, they say Disney is, the happiest place on earth? Maybe not for this dude. And what are the odds? You want to talk about really, really bad luck? And it happens at Disney? All right, I'm going to explain in just a second. Roxanne, what are you yakking about with middle of the night and cell phone? And what are you
saying? Okay.
No, hold on. The last 30 seconds of the song, Roxanne's like, I have a question for all the gentlemen in the room.
Roxanne wants to open up some philosophical discussion in the last seconds of Journey's Don't Stop Believing.
We're putting our headphones back on, getting ready to go on the air. She's like, hey, can I talk to all the gentlemen in the room?
Excuse me, announcement.
What can we help you with?
So this is a thing that I don't like that I'm working out with Doug, but I will find him in the middle of the night and he'll be on his phone at like 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning. And it will wake me up.
Yeah.
Because
you know what that is?
Oh my God.
That's porn.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right in bed with. So I have this rule. Like if you're going to get on your phone.
Porn.
And Doug with his phone. All right, Rox.
No, Roxanne, maybe let's not say it's porn. Maybe
no,
it's something.
It's not.
Maybe it's his girlfriend.
More no, innocuous.
Hang on a sec. It's Tinder.
And Doug.
And Tinder.
No, this is a whole different segment. I'm not going in that direction. I'm just going in the. That's disruptive to your sleep. And I've told him that. I'm like, he's like, I can't sleep. I'm just reading articles. And I go, well, if you can't sleep, looking at your phone is going to make it more difficult to go back to sleep. But he doesn't follow that protocol. So now I'm like, if you want to get on your phone in the middle of the night, go out in the family room and do it because the blue light wakes me up, wakes Daviana up. And so it's disruptive. But I was wondering, do you guys do that? Because he's like, I can't sleep. I have to read articles.
The blue light is permeating your retina and drilling into your brain.
I wonder if he can't sleep because your child's in the bed.
Why don't you get your damn kid out of the bed? How about that?
Maybe he'll sleep soundly.
I mean, seriously, the kid's probably kicking him in the crotch and everything and all that. You know, just get the kid out of the bed.
My kid thought it would be fun to have a little sleepover where, you know, my little one slept in my bed and the other ones had slept together, my wife, you know, and it was miserable. He was kicking me in the crotch all night.
Yeah. Maybe Dig Dug, your perpetual fiance, needs some kind of a sleep study.
Yeah, maybe he does.
That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. And Daviana in the bed isn't going to help.
I'm telling you right now, yeah. Roxanne,
mm-hmm.
My day is so jammed that when I put my head on the pillow, I am out for however long I get to sleep, whether it's 4 hours, 5 hours, whatever it is, whether it's 3 hours and 47 minutes, I'm not waking up to get on my cell phone in the middle of the night. When I'm out, I'm out. You ask Michelle, when we go to bed, I put my head down. I fall asleep in typically seconds. I am snoring in moments.
You don't have to watch it. I have to watch like Seinfeld or something to fall asleep. You don't watch TV until you fall asleep?
No.
I don't even have a TV in the bedroom.
I work and prep until the very last minute. And when I get to bed and I put my head down on my my pillow, I'm out.
And the MyPillow?
Yeah, you use the MyPillow,
that's
right?
Let's not tell lies.
I do not have the MyPillow.
And you have those Pima cotton sheets.
No, I do not. Michelle's got some nice comb cotton sheets, though, I'll tell you that. They are, they're pretty expensive, but they're worth every penny. But no, we don't have MyPillow pillows in the master bedroom. The dogs love the MyPillows. And I told the story that when I was up in New York for a bit and I was doing commercials for the MyPillow, I was, you know, doing endorsement for the MyPillow before he went all Looney Tunes. The deal is they sent me like a whole case of those pillows.
Dog beds.
And the dogs love them. And Gatsby, our male, he chews it up and he shreds all the foam because there's little like foam little peanuts in there, or little foam little chunks of foam in there,
yeah,
is what it is. And Gatsby knows that they're, it's like a fun toy.
They hump it.
No, he doesn't. He's just chewing it and ripping, and the foam is all over the place.
I mean, what he was trying to say is it's a really good looking pillow.
Anyway, what was I saying?
Something about you falling asleep right away.
It was Roxanne interrupted the whole flow of the show with whatever this whole Doug on the phone at 3 a.m. waking her up with the blue light from the cell phone.
Yeah, the blue light bothers me. Like the full moon is bad enough. I feel like that's messing with my sleep. But yeah, if this is just a public service announcement, if you have to get up in the middle of the night and you think your phone's going to make you fall asleep, it's not. It's going to stimulate you more.
Powerball, I don't think there's any drawing yet. We talked about this a little over an hour ago when we started the show. In fact, we have the Powerball announcement. Powerball was postponed last night because apparently one state did not get all their data in. So one state ruined it for everybody.
What's with the cheesy music they play under the announcement?
Listen, well, if you miss this, we'll play it again in about 10 minutes. I don't know, 15 minutes. If you miss what's going on with Powerball, we'll get to it coming up. All right, Roxanne, help me put this train back on the tracks because you totally derailed me with your little Doug Blue Light stuff. All right, let me get back to the morons in the news here. And, man, I got a couple of things, including this Disney story, which you want to talk about the worst possible luck? All right, first, though, if you're a burglar and this happens to you, you might want to just give it up and find a new line of work. Find a new life of crime, hobby. Out of Franklin, Ohio, a burglary attempt sent the guy to the hospital, then to jail. Why? Cops were called to a home at 3:30 in the morning. Turns out a burglar was shot by a blind guy.
Oh, my God. What? So, do you remember, like, the Richard Pryor movie where he was deaf and the other guy was, Gene Wilder was blind?
Yeah, what was that called?
And there was a scene where...
There
there's like a shooting scene in the dark and the other guy was blind and he knew by sound exactly where to shoot because he was blind and his senses are
Listen to this. A partially blind man shoots intruder in the ass.
Oh, partially blind. He's probably like LBM blind.
Well, no, he's just legally blind. LBM can see certain things.
Partially blind.
Shot the guy in the buttocks. Yeah, the story doesn't say as it says buttocks, according to WKRC television. I got a shot off him. He was coming right toward me, said the victim. The victim's nephew tells Local 12 that his uncle is partially blind and had just gotten home from the hospital. I don't know if it hit him or not. Oh, you hit him. You got him right in the rump there, buddy. Police, with the assistance of a canine, followed a trail of butt blood into an alleyway, and they found Jeffrey Carl, 36, hiding in a shed, and the cops went, nah, you got shot by a blind guy. Reaction was, damn, somebody shot this boy. So listen to this. The shed is owned by Joe Lewis, who happens to be a friend of Carl's, right? Listen to this. The owner of the shed said, quote, my reaction was, damn, somebody shot that boy in the ass.
Oh, my God.
That's great. That's right. That's the exact reaction.
Oh, man. So the guy who owned the shed was a friend of Jeffrey Carl, the dude that got shot in the butt by a partially blind guy.
You took one in the tuchus, buddy.
Yeah, really. You know, you might want to give up your life of crime. Are you ready for this Disney story? This is crazy. This is bad luck, man. Oh, boy. If you're a fugitive, where are you going to go now? I'm going to Disney World. This is crazy. A fugitive, a guy on the run, a New York City fugitive who was on the lam, on the run for almost a year, was arrested by a federal officer who was working the case of the fugitive.
And he sees him on the line to Space Mountain or something?
Damn right there, Pally.
Oh, my God.
It was Space Mountain?
I don't know if it's Space Mountain. Oh. They're at the Disney World parks.
Right here? Yeah. Magic Kingdom?
Yeah. All right. I see a picture of Animal Kingdom.
Okay, it's one of the parks.
Which, you know what, that might be even more obscure, because I would say Animal Kingdom is one of the, I would say, what, the Magic Kingdom, the main Disney park is
probably... Animal Kingdom is pretty popular. That place is cool.
So all four parks are packed every day, but in the pecking order, it's got to be...
Magic Kingdom.
And then
Epcot?
Maybe the Hollywood Studios? Hollywood,
and then Epcot, then Animal
Kingdom. Wait, that's your order. Wait, that's your order of what?
Of importance, of the order of Disney park hierarchy.
No, Epcot is definitely above MGM Studios.
Not MGM.
Hollywood, whatever.
See, I don't even know the name.
All right, so you're saying Magic Kingdom, then Epcot, then MGM, then Animal Kingdom?
Dude, I have Busch Gardens like 3 miles from my house. Don't take me to Orlando to see an elephant. If I want an awesome safari experience, I go to Busch Gardens.
Can you imagine this? You got a federal fugitive. He's on the run for almost a year, and a federal officer working the case runs into the fugitive at Disney.
Oh my God, what terrible luck.
Did he have mouse ears on? Yeah.
Federal Postal Inspector Jeff Andre was hanging out in the Florida amusement park Animal Kingdom when, in an incredible stroke of luck, he saw Quashawn Burton, who fled his Brooklyn home last November after being accused of fraudulently obtaining coronavirus relief aid. Andre, who signed the criminal complaint against Burton, recognized the 31-year-old fugitive by a unique cursive letter H tattoo on his neck.
There it is. There's his mugshot. Look at the H.
Look at the H, and he recognizes the guy. I mean, what are the odds of that happening? Is that not incredible?
Yeah, and if I were that fugitive, I would definitely do something like put a bandage there, do something to cover it up anytime I was out in public.
Yeah, this guy was all mixed up in the whole PPP, remember the Paycheck Protection Program? And there was a lot of fraud. Listen, a number of people were caught and went to prison, and this guy obviously is going to, but that has got to be the worst luck. You're on the lam. You're being sought by federal authorities. You go to Animal Kingdom at Disney, and one of the federal officers working on your case runs into you at Disney. Boom!
Come on, babe. Who's going to see me at Disney? I mean, come on. Let's go. Take the kids.
Oh, man, that's got to suck. And hey, folks, when we get back, remember at the end of the show yesterday we were talking about the Sunday scaries?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I want to get back into it because I got email. I got all kinds of people contacted me. And I even said that we were rushed. It was the very end of the show that I wanted to bring this back and talk about. Oh, and then a person, I'll spit it out, folks. This person caught two of her friend's husbands. On dating sites.
Oh, okay.
All right. All right. Hold on.
I thought you were giving a fill in the blank sentence there, and I was going down the wrong rabbit hole.
Hold on to that thought. That and a whole lot more. Oh, the Powerball disaster. So big Powerball problem last night. The whole country is like on the edge of their seats, and someone screwed it all up. I will give you the details on Powerball all next. Don't move here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105 at 7:24. MJ with Froggy Fester, Roxanne, the whole crew here. Andrew's our producer. And boom, this begins the long chunk of the MJ Morning Show. Tell folks you know that beginning at about 7:23 or 7:24, every morning we start an hour and 20 minutes nonstop. Nonstop MJ Morning Show begins right now. And folks, do us a favor and help us spread the word again. I want to increase the audience of this show even more. If you just tell 100 people a day that you listen to the MJ Morning Show and you love it, and that we're back every morning on Q105, which is 104.7 FM. It's important that you tell people that we're on 104.7 FM. So Q105, 104.7 FM, tell everyone you run into. Listen, a stranger opens the door for you, holds the door, let's say at PDQ or something. Just say, hey, did you know the MJ Morning Show is back every morning, 6 to 10 on Q105, which is 104.7 FM?
It's a great icebreaker.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Festa, what are you pondering over there?
If you went to a restaurant and then you get the bill, and then in the tip line, if you actually wrote in place of actual money
that the MJ Morning Show is back,
that's the best tip you can give.
Oh, so you stiff the tip is, hey, the MJ Morning Show's back?
Oh, Q105, 104.7.
Yeah, guess what? They will never listen to us because they got stiffed. All right, a couple of things. The Powerball deal is big. What about this tropical storm situation and pending hurricane over on the East Coast? The recent modeling, folks, the 5 o'clock advisory, it started late last night, but the storm, as far as the impacts on the Tampa Bay area, they keep pushing this thing more northerly as it hits the Florida East Coast. So where do we stand? Breaking hurricane news. That's right. It is November the flipping 8th. It is election day. Go vote today, folks. If you didn't do early voting or mail-in voting, do your voting today. You can't vote tomorrow. Vote today. Election day. Polls are open 7 to 7. But the other breaking item here is this subtropical storm Nicole, which is east of the Bahamas. It's on track to make landfall on the Florida East Coast. And now it looks more like, I don't know, Melbourne, Space Coast area. It just keeps tracking north. It was going to run into like around West Palm Beach and then cruise across the state. And yesterday they had this thing turning right over the Tampa Bay area. They had this thing moving like West Palm across the state, driving down like State Road 60, you know, through Bartow and Mulberry and all that, and maybe stopping and seeing the Bock Tower or whatever, and, you know, maybe stopping at a citrus stand in Lake Wales or, you know, Citrus World or something, and then coming right to the Tampa Bay area and then hooking a right and shooting up the but now we're still apparently going to have effects from Tropical Storm Nicole. But they keep pushing this thing further north. So yesterday afternoon and early yesterday evening, you saw the trajectory, you saw the track literally right over the Tampa Bay area. And now it is significantly north of the Tampa Bay area.
I always think of Nicole's as sexy. Do you guys?
You know what? I don't have an opinion on Nicole.
You don't?
No, I don't think I've ever known a Nicole. Have I ever known a Nicole?
I'm sure you've known a Nicole. Yeah. It's a fairly common name.
Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't really, float any boats. I haven't had any. Okay, I'll tell you what. I've never had any significant encounters with a Nicole.
I just always think of, like, every time you say Storm Nicole, I'm just like, sexy, sultry storm.
I know a Nicole that looks like Susan Boyle.
Yeah. Oh, you know what, Frog? You really?
I mean, I think Nicole is one of those hit or miss names.
Yeah, really? Sure.
You know what?
Okay. Maybe a little uglier than Susan Boyle.
I mean, Frog, will you please?
I know it's insensitive. I'm sorry.
Dude, stop being insensitive.
I apologize.
Anyway, so for the Tampa Bay area, we're going to have Dennis Phillips on later on. I think he's scheduled for the 9 o'clock hour.
Oh, your new best friend? Your new favorite weatherman?
Yeah.
Did you hear, Fester? You went to dinner with Dennis.
Yeah. Oh, was Paul like outside the glass window looking in? Paul Delagozic?
Does Paul know? Does Paul know? Because I'm going to go to dinner with Paul this weekend.
Let's
and I'm going to tell
Paul
him.
And listen, tell him.
Paul Delgado is a long time, like 25 year friend. All right. I go way back with Paul. It so happens that the Beasley Media Group radio weather partner happens to be Channel 28 ABC Action News. So I've, been aware of Dennis Phillips for years. I think I met Dennis years ago, but we never had really a great relationship because we just didn't really know each other that well. And of course, Dennis bent over backwards for us. In fact, I think he needs to see a chiropractor now. Now, Dennis did a lot of stuff for us during Hurricane Ian. Remember, we did like 1 hour segments with him. We had Dennis really did a lot of. So I took Dennis out to dinner on Saturday night to thank him for his help during the hurricane season. And boom, here we go again. We got this storm that's going to hit the East Coast. So Dennis is going to be available for us a little after 9 o'clock this morning. I'll zero in the time a little later on. But the bottom line is they keep pushing this storm further north. It's not going to sit on top of the Tampa Bay area. Are we going to get fringes? The forecast says yes. We could see maybe up to an inch of rain somewhere in that vicinity in the Tampa Bay area and some gusty winds. But we're going to be on the other side of this tropical storm. So we're going to be on the cleaner side if it takes the hook that they say it's going to take. So we'll see how it verifies. But it doesn't look as much of an impact as it did yesterday with the thing heading straight across over the Tampa Bay area. Now it's significantly further north of the Tampa Bay. It looks like it's more like Citrus County now, Levy County. It just looks like it's more impactful up there as it hits on the East Coast and then comes across the state.
Still a couple of days away. The Tampa Bay area immediate Tampa Bay area is on the fringe line of the southern end of the cone of uncertainty. I mean, almost out of the cone.
Yeah, the cone could, the next couple of runs, the cone could be out of the Tampa Bay area. But listen, we'll have some wind, we'll have some rain. That's the bottom line here on subtropical storm Nicole, which they expect to turn into a Category 1 as it hits the east coast of Florida. So full details, right. Well, we got you covered right here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. On to the breaking news with this Powerball fiasco, whatever the heck is going on. Yeah, Powerball didn't go off last night. They did not do the Powerball drawing at 10:59 p.m., just before the 11 o'clock news. They didn't do the drawing last night because somebody screwed up. If you went to watch the Powerball drawing last night live, this is what you heard.
Good evening, everyone.
First of all, is this not the is that not the cheesiest, corniest music? Let's
get ready to have some fun.
That is like a crappy radio music production library from 1979.
It's so bad.
Who the hell are you guys? They've been doing Powerball for years. They play the same music every week, every three times a week, and now it's almost $2 billion. You guys are getting all uppity. What I think this is terrible.
They should invest some of that couple, you know, from the billion into a new song producer.
Like, no, the music is terrible. All right, here we go. Here's the announcement they made, and this is why we don't have any Powerball numbers drawn for the $1.9 billion jackpot.
Good evening, everyone. This is Powerball. I'm Laura Johnson. Because of a technical...
Laura, can you be like...
I'm Laura Johnson.
I think Laura needs to be a little less pukey. Hey, it's Laura Johnson.
Hey, it's Hal Herman here. I actually worked with her back in the day. She used to be like my intern back on Wambo News. But do you think I should apply for that gig? I bet you I can do it better than her.
Welcome to Powerball.
Welcome to Powerball, everybody. Thank you for coming. My name is Hal.
Let me play the audio. Here it is. Listen.
Good evening, everyone. This is Powerball. I'm Laura Johnson. Because of a technical problem tonight, we are unable to bring you the Powerball drawing at this time. As soon as we're able to resolve the issue and conduct the drawing, it will be available for viewing on Powerball.com and on our YouTube channel, Powerball 39. The Powerball lotteries take pride in the strict standards of this game, and our rules require that the drawing be delayed until we can ensure that all game procedures have been successfully completed. As always, the Powerball drawing will be supervised by lottery security and an independent auditing firm that will certify...
Apparently, the floor director in the studio, his name is Phil. Phil showed up last night drunk. And fell into the Powerball machine and busted it. That apparently is what happened.
Phil.
The floor director went out for dinner, got loaded, came back to the studio for the 10:59 p.m. Eastern time drawing, tripped over a camera cable, and went headfirst into the Powerball machine, shattered the Powerball machine, because it hit the ground, and the balls went everywhere, and that's what happened. That's why the Powerball drawing was delayed last night.
Oh, no.
You think there'd be a second machine somewhere? Backup.
Okay, where are the balls picked? Where is the actual set?
All right, can I point something out? Do you think that story is true or false?
Yes.
True.
Phil caused the whole problem.
I read it in the news.
I made that up. Phil did not trip into the Powerball machine all drunk. And
Phil's very responsible, actually.
Yeah, that didn't happen. Here's the statement from Powerball. Now, that was the actual audio bite from last night.
Official drawing results.
Yeah.
So make sure you hold on to those tickets and check Powerball.com.
Man, she's a hottie.
Make sure you hold on to those tickets. No, because there wasn't a drawing last night, I'm going to flush my toilet and put my tickets right down there.
Oh, damn it.
I'm going to flush.
I'm going to throw them out the window when I'm driving down the veterans.
I'm not going to hold on to these tickets. I'm going to burn them. I'm going to burn them like I'm running numbers and the cops are breaking in the door. I'm going to use some flash paper.
Flash paper.
So do we know what happened or not? Are they late in getting...
All right, here's the deal. This is the official thing.
The winning Powerball number results. Good night, everyone, and good luck.
Good night, everybody.
Baby, you sleep well.
Here's what really happened. A meteorite believe it or not, streaked across the sky, went through the Powerball studio ceiling, and caught the place on fire.
Oh my gosh. Yep.
That's what, no, do you think that happened?
I thought it was blue ice.
All right. Yeah. A big chunk of blue ice with all kinds of turds in it fell off a United Airlines flight and went right through the Powerball studio ceiling.
There you go. Now that's a believable story.
All right. It's, not that good. Here's the actual state. Hey, Fester, find out where the drawing is held.
Yeah.
Look it up. Where is the studio? Where is the Powerball machine located? Where does that TV thing come out of? Here's the actual statement. I promise this is real. For immediate release, media alert update, Powerball draw delay. The Powerball drawing scheduled for Monday, November 7th remains delayed. Currently, one participating lottery is still processing its sales and play data. Powerball requires all 48 participating lotteries to submit their sales and play data prior to the winning numbers being selected. Once Powerball receives the outstanding submission, the drawing can proceed. Powerball has stringent security requirements to protect the integrity of the game and remains committed. Blah, blah. That's what the pukey lady said. Due to the length of the draw delay, it is likely that we will not know the official results of the Powerball drawing until Tuesday morning. Players should hold on to their tickets.
Okay, so what, does the blower have something to do with this?
No, just sales. All the equipment just is working. All right, so Powerball
numbers.
I'm
sorry, Roxanne, there's no blowing issue here.
All right, Powerball numbers were originally drawn.
Yes.
Originally in the capital of Iowa, which is Des Moines. Or as my daughter Hadley says, Des Moines.
And they better than these nuts.
Language.
These Moines. All right. Yeah. So then they moved to Universal Studios for a short while. And then in 2012, they moved to Tallahassee. So they're in the Florida capital, Tallahassee.
So they, where the office is. For the whole country, the Powerball's in Tallahassee?
And the reason I ask is I went to Laura Johnson, the announcer, who says, Liz, who's Powerball? Liz is
Powerball. Hey,
that's a really stressful read. She did not have one flub. I mean, you're reading to the nation who's waiting for $2 billion, essentially.
Well, I trained her.
Hal Herman here takes full responsibility.
She was my intern, and I worked with her daily.
No, takes full responsibility for her delivery.
So I see on her website, she's from Florida, and I was like, where's this place drawn? Tallahassee.
So Powerball has 48 participating lotteries.
So it's not a blowing issue. There's no ball.
Why are you fixating on blowing?
I mean, what is happening?
Is there a lost ball?
There's no lost balls. So there's no blowing.
I just said that one of the states didn't get their data in.
I think she just wants to say blowing.
Roxanne has an over-under for how many times she can say blowing and balls in the same segment.
Would you like to say blowing again?
Good.
Roxanne?
Good.
Hanging with us has really made her a degenerate.
It has.
You want to say blowing and balls again?
I'm just going to confirm it again.
What?
If I need to. Could have been a blowing issue.
Oh my God, will you stop it with the blowing?
Hey, can you work the word blowing into your new commercial live endorsements? Somewhere. Just somewhere in the spot.
You got 48 participating lotteries. There are 45 states, and then you've got Washington, D.C., you've got Puerto Rico, and you've got the U.S. Virgin Islands. So one of those 45 states or those territories or the district, one or Commonwealth of Puerto, one of the 48, they didn't get their data in on their ticket sales, and that has just fudged up the whole thing.
I went to the Publix last night by my house, MJ.
Yep.
The one where I don't buy lottery tickets from, the Apex Publix.
Mm-hmm.
The line was out the door. There must have been 120 really? People in the lottery.
Oh, those people from Avila.
Yeah, just wait.
They're playing now.
And I want to point out also that Powerball's not having a good run because their website crashed as well. If you go to Powerball.com, it is a rudimentary splash page, and none of the normal features of the website are there. It's just a single solitary black screen. Where's my phone? I got to use my phone on Verizon data because our computers here block the Powerball site as a gambling site. I've asked them for a year and a half to unblock it, and no one seems to be able to unblock it.
Go ahead, Roxanne. Say the computers here blow.
Good.
Is it an issue with the way that they're blowing?
That's not the context.
So I'm going to hold this up to the camera again. If you're watching MJTV, and we recommend that you can watch us live, MJTV. We're on live camera in the studio from 6 to 10 a.m. Or you can watch the replay anytime during the day. If you just go to MJMorningShow.com and you click on MJTV. All right, I'm holding it up to the camera right now. Let me get rid of this ad in the lower right-hand corner. It won't go away. But it's just a black screen. And all it says is Powerball next drawing November 7th, 2022, 10:59 p.m. Estimated jackpot $1.9 billion. Results pending. And that's it. And the regular website is gone.
And it's been like that since Sunday.
They crashed. Mm-hmm. So many people were going to the website, I guess, to see Saturday's numbers originally that it crashed. And they still haven't fixed their damn website. And now they didn't even do a drawing last night. This whole Powerball thing is coming across like some kind of Mickey Mouse operation.
They're not ready for prime time.
You know what? I don't want to disparage Mickey Mouse. I'm sorry. Apologize.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Fester is back from Mexico.
Yes.
And Fester, were you ever in danger? Did you ever feel like you could have been kidnapped by a cartel? You know, I bet you if Fester was eyeballed, I bet you, you know, one of the Mexican drug cartels, they were eyeing Fester, and they probably said, no, to feed him too much dinero.
Sí.
Yeah.
Más gordo. Very fat.
Not El Chapo, El Gordo.
Sí.
Did you have to share a room with somebody?
I went with my buddy Jason. So the two of us were palling around.
Oh,
we had the best time.
Did he get that shower view of you? Like,
okay, so get this.
Yeah.
Oh. This hotel is meant for lovers.
Oh, no. So oh. General Arvin. Fester was in Mexico. Tub. Fester was part of a sales reward trip for General RV.
Right.
Because Fester, after we stopped the MJ Morning Show originally back in 2012, Fester became a sales guy at General RV. Still is. That's his real job. This is his, like, fake half-ass job. So Fester won a sales contest, and Fester got to go to Mexico. That's why he wasn't here for a couple of days last week and yesterday.
We had the best time. But
I mean, donkey shows.
That's
in Tijuana. Somewhere near Cancun.
What makes you say the hotel room was meant for lovers? Is it like day rates, or was it like
the bed? There's one bed and it was heart shaped. Okay,
king bed.
The day rate hotel was a little further down. Okay. But the enclosure for the bathroom, where there would normally be walls, there was glass, so you could see into the bathroom. So
you couldn't take a private shower.
The shower had a door, but like the hand washing area or the coming out of the shower area was all out.
So, you couldn't get your own room.
Listen, we had the best time. It was fantastic.
Did you avoid Montezuma's revenge?
Amazingly, yes.
Did anyone else get it?
You know, a couple guys didn't feel it, but some of them were really tying one on. But
meet any Mexican women?
Okay, so.
Oh, no.
Yes. There were.
I know it wasn't you.
That wasn't me.
No.
So we go to downtown Cancun, right? And they have like a little market. And the market has these vendors.
Yeah.
And every vendor stall is the same. They all have the same tchotchkes.
Crap.
And they're all standing out
and
there.
And it's all made in China, probably.
Yeah, right.
It's all like crap made in China.
So there's these barkers there, and they're trying to get you in their thing. Some of them do is they come up to you, and they kind of whisper toward you. To try to get your attention. Yeah. And the guy says, T-shirts? And I go, no. He goes, souvenirs? And I was like, no.
Hookers?
It gets worse. He goes, you're looking for cigars? And I was like, no. He goes, cocaine? weed? Cocaine? Heroin? I'm like, no.
He goes from keychains and T-shirts to souvenirs? Cocaine and heroin?
Hold on. It was keychains, T-shirts, souvenirs, cigars, weed, cocaine, heroin, right? And then he pauses and he goes, you're looking for sex? And I say, no. And then he goes, sex with my sister?
No, he didn't.
I swear. I turned around.
Are you serious?
I looked at him laughing, and then he's laughing. And I actually hugged. It was the funniest thing of the whole
trip.
I hugged him. I was like, that's the funniest thing I've heard all day. He goes, see, it is the funniest thing you heard all day, El Gordo. So I get off the plane, and I'm wearing my Hawaiian shirt. And I don't know much about current comics, and I'm wearing my Hawaiian shirt, and I'm a large guy, and I walk through like the rental car area, and the guy goes, "Oh, hey, look, it's Fluffy."
It's Fluffy.
Oh, yeah, you look like Fluffy.
Yeah,
Gabriel Iglesias.
Yeah, one of the top traveling comics. So I haven't watched that much of him. I'm like, what? He goes, "Are you Fluffy, the comedian?" And I'm like, "No, no, I'm
Fluffy the comedian."
Somebody show me a picture of this guy.
Yeah, bring him up.
Whatever that.
I think that's his name.
Moving along, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot of ground to cover. I mentioned a couple of things. We got to get back to the Sunday scaries. We'll do that in a bit. But first, though, Roxanne, what would you do if you caught two of your friends' husbands? Pick a friend. Pick two friends. I need to pick two friends. Give me two names. And don't give me fake names.
Yeah, no, Denise and Kettle.
Who?
Kettle and Denise.
Kettle and Denise. You do not have a friend named Denise.
I do have a friend named Kettle.
All right. How about
Kettle.
You?
And all she drinks is Kettle One vodka,
no,
right?
No, no, no. Her name is Kettle, like C-A-R-O-L, Kettle.
Oh, Jesus.
Like Yo Kettle, yeah. Taco Bell?
Carol.
Yeah, but you pronounce it Kettle.
All right.
Why? Her name is Carol.
No, she's Cuban, and you pronounce it Kettle.
All right. Okay.
I want to hang out with her just because of that, or the way her name is.
All right.
What would you do, Roxanne, if you caught two of your friend's husbands online dating?
Well, why am I online dating? How am I able to catch them? I just was snooping around? No, or was I doing an investigative report?
Just say somehow it happened.
Take yourself out of your current relationship with Dig Dug, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're single. You're on a dating site. What would you do?
I wouldn't be on a dating site.
Listen to me.
Hypothetically.
Okay. All right. First she's making up fake names, and now she's totally kicking this segment in the nuts.
Okay, go ahead. Right. Okay, let's pretend I would be on a dating site.
You're
okay.
On a dating site. You see two of your friends' husbands on the dating site.
Is she on the dating site on her phone or on a computer?
Will you stop it, Froggy? What do you do? Do you tell your friend that their husbands were on dating sites?
This is so tough because the thing is, what if the husband just has an old account that he hasn't shut down yet, and even though they've been married for 15 years before online dating was a thing.
No, you saw they were active.
Okay, an active status.
Yes.
Like, I would talk to them about their relationship and kind of see where it was headed before I would make that revelation.
I read a story over the weekend.
And I would probably confront the husband.
Would you try to pick up the husband?
What? No, what? I would try to blackmail him.
Oh, really?
No. No.
Oh, wow. Wicked side of Roxanne.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I would probably say something to the husband. Yeah, first.
Come see the psycho side of Roxanne.
David, I have to talk to you for a minute. How's your love life with Suzanne? I mean, what are you going to do? How are you going to bring it up? You going to sit him down as like a counsel?
I think you have to get into the details before you actually start making accusations and ruin someone's marriage. And like, maybe they do it that way. Maybe that's their thing. Maybe she has an account too. Maybe
it's swingers.
Like, do you like pina coladas thing? And they do role play. And then it's like, he's got an account. She's got an account. They try to match up with each other.
Like, you mean like the song, Do You Like Pina Colada?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
So the modern day version of that song is they're both on Tinder and they swipe each other and they meet.
Yeah. And then they meet each other and it turns out that they were total matches. Exactly. And it's
wow.
So, I'm not one to break into that kinky thing. Hey, here's the deal.
Meet me at O'Malley's.
Guys, can I give you the damn story already?
Please.
All right. The deal is the woman saw two of her friends' husbands, two different friends, female friends, and their husbands were on a dating site. And I asked you, Roxanne, what you would do because this woman did not say a word to either one of the female friends that their husbands were on dating sites.
There you go.
Didn't say a word. So I wanted to know.
She's a good egg.
What would Roxanne do? A good egg?
Yeah, a good person.
That's something an 80-year-old says.
Yeah, she's a good egg.
You're a good egg.
Get out of here, you whippersnapper.
So, Roxanne, you would...
I would assume the best and assume that was their kinky role play thing that they did as a couple. Because I would only see his side. I wouldn't see her side because I wouldn't.
Why is everything going to the kink with you these days? I'm telling you.
It's amazing. Everything comes back to a Skinamax movie.
Am I right? Am I right or wrong here?
No, no. I'm just saying maybe that's how creatively they do things in their household. So I would not,
like
would not
get into their business. Magnet. Just comes right
I would
to
not
her.
Get into their business.
Now, I believe that Elon Musk, moving along, I just want to know what would Roxanne do. Moving along, we'll get into the Sunday Scaries in a minute. I want to pick up where we left off in literally the last minutes of yesterday's show. We'll do that in a minute regarding the Sunday Scaries. And I had a lot of folks respond to me on something we did late in the show. First, though, I want to talk about Twitter for a second. And Elon Musk, first of all, grossly overpaid for Twitter. I mean, it's laughable. What was it, $44 billion for Twitter? I mean, just a joke. There's no way he's going to recoup that money. It just, he tried to back out of it because Elon Musk is reckless. Let's be honest here. It's part of the reason why I'll never own a Tesla. I just,
Your dad
just,
does.
My dad does. Yeah, my dad has one. I have a lot of friends that have Tesla. Fester's wife has a Tesla. Yeah. Fester bought a Model Y, and I asked why. Just bought that recently for Allison, Fester's wife. But I'm not going to own a Tesla. I just find Elon Musk to be just erratic. And I find that disconcerting. And I don't want to be involved. And the whole Twitter thing just solidifies. And then when he took over Twitter, one of the first things he did on his Twitter feed was introduce a conspiracy theory. Which was just, it was bogus. It just wasn't true. It was like, wait a minute, you just took over Twitter and you're adding to some of the cesspool that's out there. He's just erratic. And I wouldn't trust the guy with my life. I'm not getting behind the wheel of a Tesla.
Right. So what are you saying? People who do get behind the wheel of a Tesla are stupid? Fester, his wife?
Please.
Listen, I'm just saying that I'm not a huge Elon Musk fan. I think that he's been very lucky. I think he's put together great groups of people. I'm not saying the guy is not intelligent. He is. But he's just too erratic and unpredictable. And I'm sorry, that concerns me. It bothers me. And now with Twitter, he pays $44 billion for Twitter. And now they're going to charge people that have blue checks. They're going to charge you $7.99 a month to keep your blue check. But listen to this. Why was the blue check on Twitter? Why was the verified badge? Why was that instituted?
The blue check means that account is that person who you think it is. It's not a parody account. Right. It's not a joke account.
Exactly.
It's not somebody. But it's also a public person.
It's a business.
A business.
Or it's business. Something well known. The verification blue check badge is that it's generally something or someone of notoriety, and it just proves that it is that person that you're following, or that entity, or that business, and it's not some fraudulent fake individual impersonating.
Yes, it's called a certification check. Here comes
Elon.
Do you see what I've added to my costume?
What have you added to your costume?
My man boobies. Now I have man boobies for my Elon Musk impression. All right, so do you like them?
I saw you over there messing with your boobs and out of the corner of my eye, and I thought that you were doing something to get into character.
Froggy,
I was like,
I was trying to figure out what was he doing underneath his shirt.
I'm putting in my man boobies so I could do my Elon Musk impression.
Froggy took two of my emptied coffee creamer cups
and they're glued to my nipples.
He put tape on the back of them and he put them on his nipples. That's what he said.
So enough of the Elon Musk.
Do you want me to leave?
But listen to the story here. So now they want to charge people with a verified blue check mark. They want to charge you $7.99 a month to keep it. If you don't pay, they take it away. But here's what the problem is. Anybody that wants to pay $7.99 a month can now get a blue check mark.
Wow.
Anybody.
So it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. That's what I'm saying. The dude is erratic. So you're going to destroy the whole verification process. I have a blue check mark.
Everybody gets a blue check mark. You get the blue check mark. You get the blue check mark.
Yeah, for $7.99 a month, anybody can. You're right.
I'm the rich Oprah.
That's what's going on here. Oprah's rich anyway. She's pretty loaded.
Excuse me.
Actually, richer.
Actually, Oprah might be richer than Elon Musk
no,
now.
What? No.
Well, Elon Musk's, the stock for Tesla has been shaved dramatically.
It dropped below $200 a share yesterday.
Absolutely. That guy dropped $44 like it was nothing.
Right. And guess what? That's going to put him into financial difficulty. I'm telling you right now, he overpaid for Twitter. But, so my blue check mark is going away. My blue check mark on Twitter is going to go poof because I'm not paying $7.99 a month.
And do you care, really?
I guess what? I don't care.
Okay.
All right? So my blue check mark is going away. Tons of people that are verified and entities are saying, we're not paying $7.99 a month. But he's destroying the whole verification process. He's destroying the... the safety mechanism that you can trust certain accounts because they're verified. And now anybody can get a check mark for $7.99 a month. It is ridiculous. So let me get this straight. A lot of the people that are verified because it's important for the community to know that that person is real, their check marks are going to go away. But then you can have all kinds of new check marks of people that nobody knows that are going to be added. It makes no sense. It's ass backwards.
Why don't they give like the people who had a blue check mark before like a blue star?
I'm gonna hold a funeral for my blue check mark when it goes away. So apparently tomorrow is when they're gonna roll this out. So I would imagine anybody with a blue check mark is gonna get some kind of notification or some kind of pop up that hey, if you want to keep your blue check mark, you got to pay $7.99 a month, and I'm not gonna pay. So my blue check mark, I imagine, is just gonna go poof. It's gonna go away.
Hmm. What's that Boyz II Men song? It's so hard to say goodbye to my blue check.
It's so hard to say goodbye to my blue check mark.
And we'll take my blue check's memory.
What are you? All right.
I'm moving along now, Froggy.
It wasn't even that funny in the first place.
We're jumping the shark here.
To be my sunshine after the rain. Whoa, whoa, whoa,
Froggy, stop. Guys, stop it. I'm moving on.
All right, thank you. With our new female edition.
All right, enough.
A little update on Aaron Carter. I guess they found all kinds of compressed air cans, which means that he was probably a huffer.
Oh, that's so sad.
This is sad. Aaron Carter, the brother of Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys, of course, passed away. News broke over the weekend. 34 years old, found dead in his bathtub in California. And according to TMZ, he was very clearly struggling with an addiction to huffing compressed air.
You know, I've been following him. He had a very entertaining Instagram because he was so erratic. So I followed him. And he was doing a live a couple months ago. And his room was dark, and he walked away for like 10 minutes, and all you hear is,
Are you serious?
Yeah, look it up on YouTube.
You heard him huffing, you think?
No, if you look it up on YouTube.
Is it on YouTube or is it on Instagram?
Aaron Carter huffing audio or something.
Holy.
And so he came on live the next day, and he said, hey, man, I'm trolling you guys. And then he sprayed an aerosol can. He goes, it was just aerosol. Man, you guys fell for it like it was a joke.
I don't think it was a joke. I think he was covering.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Am I the only one who, when I've read all of the details of this story, I mean, they did a wellness check on him on Friday, yeah, and then he died the next day.
Yep.
And was it him who said, get the police out of here? Or was it the housekeeper? I don't know. But I mean, you know, he's that close if you're having a wellness check. And then I don't know.
According to TMZ, law enforcement sources tell them there were multiple cans of compressed air in Aaron's bathroom and bedroom, as well as prescription pills. Not clear if that's what caused him to drown, but obviously it was a big clue what may have happened. Our law enforcement sources say the last time anyone saw Aaron alive was 2 a.m. on Friday. We're told Aaron's live-in housekeeper heard a knock at the door at 2 a.m. and answered. She says cops had come to do a welfare check, unaware of who called them. So what is this live-in housekeeper doing if
he didn't even know
that he was dead in a bathtub?
There's some details like you would have known if you were there, is what I read.
MJ, I have the audio there if you want to hear him huffing on his live. It was a TikTok live, actually.
This is... I hate TikTok. All right. Is this it on the computer screen?
Yeah, it's apparently him going off screen. And
all right.
Let's hear it.
Bring up the audio. What is that?
That was just...
Fuck. Oh, dude, Froggy.
Dude. Okay, that's not right.
Dude, what is the matter with you? Froggy. What are you? I just had to dump that.
All right, so what happened was MJ plays the YouTube audio that Froggy says is 100% fine.
What are you doing? That?
And the one word that Aaron Carter belts out is the F-bomb.
Oh, my God.
Froggy.
I'm sorry. That wasn't right. That wasn't right.
I just dumped that. I hit the dump button.
Sure?
Okay, it's so
sure
dumped. Dumped.
Well,
dumped.
The light went. Oh, the light God. Came off, so it Froggy. Looks like I was able to dump
sorry.
That.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't. I'll go over it before.
Yeah, how about you go over audio before you bring up live streams or whatever for us to play or YouTube or whatever.
Did he toot in the beginning?
That's what I thought that
wait,
was.
Can
I
can't even go back and listen because of all my the profanity. God.
All right, so. Suddenly, the F-bomb just blared. I dumped it on Q105. So
oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry.
It did not go over 104.7 FM. However, on MJTV, you heard him go, burp. He did the F-bomb.
And then, like it hurt.
You know, I guess we can leave it on the podcast as well.
I mean, in reality, there's very few things you can't say on the radio.
Oh, my God. That is like the one of the worst things.
Dude.
And that was like an aggressive. There was no mistaking it.
You cue it right up to the F-bomb. What is wrong with you?
Oh, I'm the worst.
You are the worst.
I'm still getting used to this radio thing. Sorry.
All right. Hey, before we move on here, the Q105 Trip a Day song. To win a 3-day staycation at Saddlebrook Resort in Tampa.
Ooh. I love Saddlebrook.
But is Saddlebrook technically Tampa?
I think it's like Wesley Chapel
yeah,
area.
I don't know
right?
if it is.
It's in the Tampa Bay area. Yeah, right. It's way up there in Wesley Chapel.
The song you're listening for to win the trip a day for Saddlebrook, 3-day staycation Saddlebrook, you're listening for Love is a Battlefield by Pat Benatar. It'll play in the 3 o'clock hour today when you hear it. Be the 7th caller to win. The Q105 trip a day. So good luck. Listen, just Aaron, just too bad. I mean, the guy just had all kinds of demons. And
it sucks.
And now, you know, cans of air. So clearly he was a huffer. So
that'll kill you, though, huffing that stuff?
Listen, it'll knock you out. It can make you unconscious. And maybe
he goes,
maybe he goes under the water. Maybe they said they found cans of air in the bathroom. What if he was huffing in the bathtub? He's huffing. It knocked him unconscious. You huff the propellant.
Yeah.
And it knocked him out. He slipped under the water, and he drowned.
Maybe if he would have passed out on his bed, he would have maybe woken up.
You know his most famous song ever. Do you guys know what it is?
Oh, yeah. It's a remake. It was I Want Candy.
And?
I Want Candy. Oh, the
That's How I Beat Shaq.
Oh, was that another one?
Yeah. Shaq, how do you feel about this?
Man. I don't even want to make a joke about this.
Listen, I don't need Fester Shaq today and Froggy
Elon
Musk.
He worked with the kid.
All right.
The video is great if you haven't seen it.
All right. I got to move on here. I want to talk about the Sunday Scaries in a minute, but first I want to lightning round a couple of things. Roxanne, do you buy any of the expensive face creams?
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yeah.
Michelle has some stuff, and I don't think she's bought it in a while. But Michelle bought something called, like, Jesus in a Bottle.
Yes, she turned me on to that, and so I have that as well. It's like P.S.
It's like creams and serums and...
It's like a French facial lotion.
Catholic Church should sue the manufacturer of that.
It's P50 lotion.
And it's nicknamed by celebrities, or some celebrities called it Jesus in a Bottle.
Yes.
Because it did wonders for, I guess... faces, complexions, wrinkle, whatever, right?
I'm suing
everything.
You.
The whole thing.
You're using my trademark name.
Stop it, Froggy. Now, Roxanne, the reason why I ask you about your use of lotions and serums and creams and all that stuff here on this election day, the reason why I'm asking you is Brad Pitt has this skincare line out that I guess is a consortium with the winery that he owns, and they're using... like the properties of red grapes and...
Oh, because that has resveratrol.
Resveratrol.
Yeah,
why'd you say that again?
Resveratrol.
Oh, well, that's not bad. And they're trying to say, oh, yeah, this is great for your skin. I read a review of some of his products. So Brad Pitt is 58 years old now.
Oh, wow.
And there was a story in British Vogue So Vogue magazine, the British edition, and the products are expensive. This skincare line is called the, like, I think it's La Domaine is the name of this, Fester?
Yeah.
Le Domaine is the name of the skincare line. And British Vogue did like a review. You know, you got Gwyneth Paltrow. She's got the poop line. I'm sorry. What is it called?
Goop.
Yeah. Gwyneth Paltrow with the Goop line. And now you got Brad Pitt with his line. And inside the products is something called GSM-10. And they say that it's a patent pending blend of several grape varieties. And it's the grapes with the most antioxidant effects. And they checked out three products of Brad Pitt's lotions and everything here. And the prices are expensive. Listen to this. The Le Domaine, the serum, is $385. Go back to that jar. See if it has a quantity on there.
It looks like a fairly small jar.
Yeah. You know, on the front of it, it doesn't say, you know, how many ounces it is or how many grams or whatever the measurement is, but
That's out of my price range for face stuff.
Have you seen the aftershave? It's called Pit Cream.
I thank you, Froggy. So Le Domaine is $385, and British Vogue said for $385, Brad Pitt ought to come to your house and apply it on your face personally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. For real. Froggy, it's worth it.
Froggy, your Pit Cream joke would have been funnier if it was a deodorant.
I made that joke yesterday.
It wasn't funny then either.
Well, you know, so I told you guys I interviewed Brad, so I've met him in person.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. And yep. I'm not going to talk badly about
what
him.
What movie was he doing that you interviewed him at some kind of a junket?
Moneyball.
It was Moneyball?
Yeah. And so it was at the Oakland A's Stadium. It was out in California.
It's like 10 years ago or 11 years. Moneyball was like, what, 2010, 2011?
Yep.
Like 2005.
Yeah.
When was Moneyball?
And Chris Pratt was in that one too. Right. I interviewed him too. And so, but anyways, when Brad came walking down towards the set, which was right set up in the stadium, I mean, I got, like, I don't get super excited when you see the actors or whatever, but I felt starstruck. Like, I was starstruck.
You
when
were
I saw him.
Starstruck?
So yeah, for sure.
Your jaw dropped?
It was jaw dropped. He just had that, like, aura about him. He looked like he was, like, shining.
Never been starstruck. Well,
I've done enough of those that I'm usually not, but he was a little different. But go ahead with your non
starstruck. Richard Simmons starstruck you.
He did not.
Two questions.
Hold on.
Hold on. I missed what you said at the very end about me. You made some kind of disparaging comment.
Go ahead with your non-starstruckness. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm just not starstruck. All right. So Brad Pitt's.
Oh, but you didn't let me finish. Oh,
go ahead.
Go ahead. So he sat down. So I'm not, again, not talking badly, but he doesn't have the best skin.
So you
That's
noticed.
That's not his thing.
You were starstruck, and when Brad Pitt sat next to you, was this at a hotel in Hollywood or something?
No, I just told you it was in the Oakland A's Stadium.
It's a lot of these movie junkets.
Yeah, they do it at hotels. Usually hotels.
Nice hotels in Los Angeles. Right.
The Beverly Hills Hotel.
Because it was an Oakland A's type storyline.
Billy Bean.
Yeah,
Billy Bean was there.
All right, so the movie came out in April of 2011. Roxanne, do you have videos of you interviewing these celebrities?
She's
interviewing everybody. She's like, I interviewed this person. Show us the videos of this stuff.
Do you have any proof? You can really make up anybody.
Let's just say a celebrity.
I believe
Bill Cosby.
I interviewed him. He ordered me a drink.
Bob, have a sip of this.
So Brad Pitt, his Le Domaine, the serum is $385. Then the cream is $320.
Whoa. Dude.
They say the packaging is really beautiful, but the face cream refills cost $270, and it means you're paying $50 for the cap. The cap is some wooden cap that is crafted out of an old wine cask.
I will tell you, that is the nicest cap I've seen on any men's
product. You really need a wooden cap?
Right.
Yeah, that's made out of a wine cask. So anyway, that's the cream. He's got a number of these products. So the serum is $385, the cream is $320. It just seems the prices are pretty freaking high here for this stuff. And I just don't think, you know, we complained about gas being, you know, $350, whatever it is. You know, gas. Did you see gas went up like overnight?
17 cents.
Yeah. Well, I think I saw it up like 25 cents in some places. Yeah. So whatever reason, on like Sunday night into Monday, gas went up yesterday. Just boom, like everywhere. It went up like up to like 25 cents a gallon. So,
oh my God.
You know, we complained about gas being that high, and here's Brad Pitt selling, you know, what, an ounce or so of crap for $385.
MJ, there's a YouTube channel called Disaster Date Night.
Yeah.
That has 15 subscribers.
Oh, wait a sec. There. Whoa. Hold on a minute.
It has Brad Pitt talks with Roxanne Wilder.
Whoa. Hold on. This is on YouTube from 2011, from 11 years.
What's Disaster Date Night?
So they have 15 subscribers to Disaster Date Night.
Now, wait a sec. We got to play this. There's a YouTube video, and here's Roxanne sitting right next to Brad Pitt.
Three and a half minutes long.
He's not even looking at you.
Look at the little chintzy little money ball sign they put up in between them. Look at this. Oh, we got to post this. Let's play. If I play this, is it going to be a giant F-bomb?
Yeah, probably. I think so.
When I hit play, is it going to go F? All right, here we go.
Brad, without having a really heavy background in baseball, what was it about this book that captivated you so that you were like, I'm really excited about this project?
It was... First, it was, you know, it's just a story in some way of a team with a fraction of the budget.
How all right, go to Roxanne. Who cares?
First of all, why is your mic so low? Were you even mic'd?
It's a David and Goliath story in a way, you know.
Where did this run?
Here on, I think it was on CBS.
On Channel 10?
Yeah.
Brad, how's it feel to do a baseball game?
why is your mic so low?
To Billy Bean and
look.
The character we portray here. I'm trying to let Billy off the hook here.
Yeah, portraying a really bad baseball player.
Starting with that. No, but there was something about that, you know, how we place value on success and failure. That
Okay, we got enough of that. We'll post it to YouTube.
Yes.
Wow, look at you, 11 years ago.
God. So, Brad, tell me more.
Well, you know, it's really going to be a great movie, and I'm really, thanks for being, thank you for having me, Roxanne.
Oh, here's Roxanne speaking one more time. Here we go.
There's that similarity between chasing a big dream as an actor and chasing a big dream as a baseball player. Did you draw on some of that for your character?
Listen, I think...
Oh, they turned your mic up a little bit.
Like, baby voice. I don't know why I had a baby voice.
Why is your voice all mousy?
Question's stinking. You sound like a mouse.
It's like, wee-wee-wee-wee-wee-wee-wee-wee-wee-wee.
That's starstruck Roxanne right there. She's like, So, let's talk more about balls.
He does look hot there.
I mean, he does look
hot. With that long, luscious hair.
Was he with Angelina back then?
He was wearing a hat. Yeah, he was with Angelina then.
So he didn't try to like make the moves on you?
Don't you dare get too close to the Roxanne girl doing the interviews.
That's not Angelina Jolie at all.
That's exactly how I talk. I'm very...
American is what she is. She's very American.
I want to move on to the Sunday Night Scaries. Now, we talked about this yesterday. During yesterday's MJ Morning Show, we mentioned this in the last like couple of minutes of the show. And I said, you know what? I want to mention this, and then maybe we'll go back to it tomorrow. And here we are, because I wanted to spend a little more time. Michelle brings this up. I'm doing preparation on Sunday night. I'm prepping for the Monday show, and Michelle comes across this story that pops up in her news feed on her phone. And she says, hey, do you know about the Sunday Scaries? I'm like, I don't know. Was it a horror movie on some cable channel or something? And she's like, no, it's people that get all kinds of anxiety on Sunday because they're anxious for the new week, for the workday to begin again on Monday. And I'm like, no, I never heard the term the Sunday Scaries. And Michelle sends me this story from something called Get Pocket, Sunday Night Anxiety, How to Alleviate the Sunday Scaries. There's nothing quite like feeling of dread which creeps in on a Sunday evening, despite your best attempts to push away thoughts of the week ahead to make the most of your time off and forget about work just a little while longer, this is where the Sunday Scaries come in. We're talking about the Sunday Night Anxiety, or the Sunday Scaries, as it's often called, a form of anticipatory anxiety, a type of anxiety characterized by an overwhelming feeling of dread about something that's due to happen.
All right, this is a real thing. The Cleveland Clinic, MJ, has a post of 8 symptoms of the Sunday Scaries. sometime in the middle of the day or the evening on Sunday. This is what you can expect if you suffer from this.
These are bullet points.
Yeah.
Sounds like symptoms. These people are just depressed.
A racing heartbeat, sweating, difficulty breathing, trembling.
Oh, my God.
Upset stomach.
All right, these people are getting abused at work.
Hey, Pepto-Bismol.
Right.
Trouble sleeping, headache, and in extreme cases, depression or a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
What, because you got to go back to work tomorrow on Monday?
Where are they working?
All right, we got to go to phones on this. We got a couple of calls at the very end of the show, and I squeezed in a couple. Didn't I take a couple of calls on this, or did I dream that?
No, you dreamed it because you just did a mention.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe something else that I took calls on. All right, so let's take some calls on this. Do you experience these Sunday scaries? Do you suddenly have all this anticipation and like heart palpitations?
Maybe Harvey Weinstein's secretary went through this. Who else?
All right, let's go to phones on this. Do you suffer from the Sunday scaries? 800-990-1047. That's the number to get in. 800-990-1047. You know, I'll admit that sometimes on a Sunday, I don't sweat or have a heart attack, but sometimes on a Sunday, I'm like, oh, man, I got to... got to kind of come up with a little list or a little outline of what we're going to do on the show tomorrow. I mean, that's happened through the years, but I don't think I've ever had any kind of an anxiety attack. I've never had an anxiety attack. You know, when you have people that are going, and, you know, they're huffing. I've never had what I think is an anxiety attack.
You'd know if you had one.
All right, let's go to phones. Do you suffer the Sunday scaries? Do you get all bent out of shape? Do you start sweating, racing heartbeat, sweating, difficulty breathing, trembling, upset stomach, trouble sleeping, heart attack,
diarrhea,
headache?
I mean, it could be.
All right, I want to go to the Sunday scary lines right now. 800-990-1047. And Michelle sent me the story Sunday while we're on the couch just watching TV. And she's like, have you ever gotten the Sunday scaries? I'm like, what the hell's that? And I said, no. All right, phones are loaded here. So try to get in. 800-990-1047. Right, before I hit line one, yes, Rox.
I don't have the Sunday scaries because my kids wear me out so much over the weekend. I'm kind of happy to go from one jail to the next jail. And so,
whoa, wait a second.
You're calling us jail? Hold on.
You're calling time with your kids and at home jail?
And then
coming into the studio and working with us doing the morning show, that's another jail?
Or is this going into the hole?
No, that's not what's happening here.
I'm joking. In the shoe.
Okay, but seriously, I don't get the Sunday scaries because I just enjoy wherever I am at that
moment.
What is
this, Shawshank to you?
But I do notice on Monday, I have taken note and I sweat more on Monday.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And so I don't make any crash jokes about I'm sweating the alcohol out because it's not that. It because I don't even drink as much on the weekends. I drink more during the week.
You're sweating the heroin out. You're coming off of let's go to phones. 800-990-1047. And we'll give you the latest on subtropical storm Nicole. And again, the models just keep pushing further away from the Tampa Bay area. So we'll give you the latest on Nicole. You know, they say we're going to have maybe up to an inch of rain and some wind, but it shouldn't be a massive event. Dennis Phillips should join us in about an hour from ABC Action News. Let's go to phones. Let's start with Ryan in Tampa. Ryan, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning, guys.
Morning, Ryan.
So I just graduated college this past May, and we have a little bit of a different take on the Sunday scaries. So to me, when I hear Sunday scaries, I think of that's what happens when you black out on Saturday night and you have a ton of anxiety about how you acted the night before.
Ooh, that's a good one.
There's possibly multiple definitions, however.
Wow, that's called being an alcoholic. Yeah.
Once you leave college and actually get a real job, you'll have
I actually call that the sheepish Sundays. When you black out and do things you don't remember and then you wake up on Sunday and you feel sheepish.
Ryan, so you graduated in May and... what did you graduate with? What kind of a degree?
I graduated with a finance degree.
And where did you go?
I went to Ohio State.
Oh, wow. Good school. And have you landed a job?
I have. But I actually start a new one at the end of the month.
Nice.
All right, so you didn't like your first job, and you got a new job.
Well, it's not that I didn't like it. It's I got a better opportunity from a really established firm. So.
Wow, so how much of a pay raise?
About 20%.
Go Buckeyes, nice. Man.
Go. Ryan, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Did you say goop?
Yep.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for checking in. Let's grab Billy's in Port Richey. Billy, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Sunday Scaries. Do you get them?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, Billy, tell me about the Sunday Scaries that you get.
It was more of a dread. I would just dread that text message, dread that. The whole week, and if I worked the weekend, that would suck too. That would.
No, you can say you can suck. Say suck is okay. Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. It was just. I don't do it no more, so I just could identify with it. I had that that company that the main man was just ruthless, just mean to you. And,
oh, wow.
I don't know if it was a complex he had or what, but you just didn't want to be with that company, and most people didn't.
And did you walk away finally?
I have, yeah. I got like a 50% pay raise, and
and you don't have like the Sunday scary boss anymore. Hey, buddy, thanks for the call. How about Kimber? Kimber is phoning in from Newport Richey. Hey, Kimber, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Let's talk Sunday scaries. Do you get them?
I do. Good morning, guys, and Roxanne.
Good morning.
So I never knew they were called Sunday Scaries, but I've been in sales for 25 years, and every Sunday night I just worry about my upcoming week. It's like, you know, I got to make sure I remember to do this, and I got to call this client, and I got to close this, and I got to do that, and I can never sleep on Sunday night. It's horrible. Horrible.
Wow. So you get what? The anticipatory anxiety?
Right. Yep.
All right.
That's exactly right.
Kimber, yep. Thanks. Appreciate it. And this hasn't changed. It, no matter how many years tick by, it's the same thing.
Well, honestly, I have gotten better about it. Someone told me that when you have these thoughts, to write them down. So now I've got a piece of paper by my bed on Sunday nights. And I write down things. So it has gotten better, but it's still, you know, I'm still up writing everything I got to do for the week. And now I'm in a different sales. I'm selling insurance now for AAA. So it's, you know, it's a little plug there. But anyway, but yeah, it's
okay.
There's a better system for, you know, what I have to do there. I've always worked from home, and now I'm in an office.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that your mental health has improved. And Kimber, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. All right, I'm going to take a couple more here. Brian is in Land O' Lakes. And Andrew, I'm going to, with all the calls that are on hold, I'm going to cap it there because I got to move on. Let me grab Brian, Land O' Lakes, MJ Morning Show. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey there.
I used to have those Sunday scares because I had a boss at the time that he was anal retentive with everything, every detail. He's extremely detailed. So, you know, the font and the email had to be a proper size.
Oh, color. Micromanager.
Like, I would lose sleep at night.
I said 14-point font, not 12-point font!
I would be docked for stuff like that.
Really?
Like, my Excel sheet had to be the proper width, proper column width.
I said seven columns, not six.
Yeah, pretty much, man. I anxiety was, I've never dealt with
I
that,
said blue so. Tabs, not green.
It was exactly like that. And then, you know, HR, you would document everything. So, I mean, the emails, everything, Excel documents. It was insanity. I've never dealt with anything like that in the past. So got rid of that job, got a better job. And it really truly is about the, who you're working for. So I'm doing a lot better now, but I remember those days. It was a nightmare.
Dreaded going to work. Thank you, Brian. All right, I'm going to take three more calls. April is in Palm Harbor. April, MJ Morning Show, Sunday Scaries. I never heard of this term until Michelle told me about it this past Sunday
what
night.
Rock, because, have you been living under?
And Michelle didn't know it either. Michelle, she found a story on Sunday night about the Sunday Scaries, you know, while we're watching TV, and she says, hey, take a look at the article I just sent you. All right, April, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hey, everybody. I'm in the same boat. I had never heard that there was an actual term for it, but my former employer, I worked for a CEO who was extremely toxic and manipulative, and it would even start on Saturday night because I would start thinking about what was coming and how I was going to have to go in and deal with her, and it was just psychological, you know, hell. So
oh, my God.
I definitely think it's psychological.
Now, April, what kind of job was this?
I worked for a nonprofit in the executive team.
God, so a nonprofit, you'd think that the nonprofit's there to help people out and your boss was like a terrorizing Godzilla?
Yeah, it was horrible. Got some news coverage, too, on her. I left shortly before she resigned.
Hold on, there was news coverage on her being a terror?
Yeah, a toxic work environment.
Really?
MJ, a lot of the Sunday Scaries goes back to just dreading what you do for a living.
Or the boss.
Or dreading the people you work with, right?
Think back to when we were young, Fester, and like when we were in our early 20s, we worked for MJ, and he was going through his jerk stage.
Get out of here.
Jerk phase was like 15 years.
April, is this nonprofit like a well-known place that we'd all have heard of?
Probably not.
I got you.
Okay.
All right, April, thanks for the call, and hopefully you're much better off and your mental health has improved.
Oh, yeah, tremendously, 100%. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening. All right, Alicia's in Tampa. Alicia, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hello.
Hey. Yeah, I can't work anymore, unfortunately. I was a nurse, but every Sunday, starting in midday, didn't matter where I worked, I couldn't. I throw up. It was horrible.
You would throw up with the Sunday Scaries?
Yes. Never heard the term. I know about anxiety, but not anticipatory anxiety. And I'm a nurse.
Wow, Alicia. Yeah. Are you still in the medical field?
I can't work anymore. I got sick.
All right.
Well,
Alicia, I wish you the best, and thank you for listening. Hopefully we make you a little better every morning.
Feel better.
Oh, yeah, you do. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Alicia. All right, last call, and then we got to move on. Leslie is in St. Pete. Maybe it's Leslie, our comptroller, down the hall. I don't know.
She gets him.
Leslie, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hi. I used to get the Sunday Scaries all the time, being a former teacher, and I think a lot of teachers do get the Sunday Scaries because we spend so much time planning and getting ready for the week, and we're thinking, oh, did we forget this? Did we forget that? Did we group the kids correctly? We got all these tests coming up.
Yep.
So I think teachers get it a lot.
For everybody, it's typically back to work on Monday for not everyone, but a lot of people. And then teacher, I guess it's so structured that you're back to school at an exact time on, Monday morning. So, did you overcome it?
Well, I ended up quitting about 2 years ago and opening up my own business.
Oh, so you quit teaching?
So I did.
What kind of business did you open up?
I opened up a quilt shop in Clearwater, so it's so fun and nice and relaxing.
And you're just what? You're making quilts?
Selling fabric.
Wow.
Selling fabric, yeah.
All right.
So like, nice, yep.
Screw Michaels and Joann's.
When I think of quilts, I just think of just a whole bunch of raviolis being put together.
Oh, delicious.
Just like ricotta stuffed ravioli.
I've never fat kid.
Yeah, Leslie, what's the name of your fabric shop? Since Boca Bargoon's closed down, I need a new place.
Rainbows and Quilt Shop in Clearwater. We're right off of Northeast Coachman and Belcher.
Yeah, hey, warning. Mark Zalas will be there when the place opens up, knocking on your door.
Rainbow!
Hey, I heard you mention your quilt shop on the MJ Morning Show. You want to buy some ads?
Hi, this is MJ. Rainbow Quilt Shop. The pride of Clearwater.
Hey, Leslie, thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
Have you heard of people who have sundowners where they get depressed when the sun goes down? They get scared and anxiety. Yeah, that's like, I guess, a more extreme version.
We mentioned this whole Sunday Scaries at the last portion of the MJ Morning Show yesterday. I brought this up on Monday. I just thought it was, you know, on a Monday to bring up the Sunday scaries because it typically, it's for Monday that people get scared. So I mentioned this in the last couple of minutes of the show yesterday, and I know what it was. I got a bunch of email and I got a bunch of social media things. I printed this off of my Instagram and it came from Jackie, and Jackie said, "Hi, MJ. Yes, there is something called the Sunday Scaries. I have it every Sunday, and I have to take melatonin every Sunday evening to help me sleep. It's awful. LOL. Have a great week."
That's a beat.
So every other day, she sleeps like a baby.
So there you go, the Sunday Scaries.
Yeah, a lot of people texting say they throw up on Sunday.
God, what a bunch of weenies.
Really?
Man up and go to work.
Oh, man. It's Sunday. I'm thinking about going to work on Monday. And you know what? I'm at Buffalo Wild Wings and having lunch, and I got to go to work on Monday.
Trying to watch a bus game, you puke all over your TV.
That's a new sauce.
I mean, B Dubs has a bunch of sauces. So, you know, now, a new one.
I've never been to one.
Me either.
I've never been to Buffalo Wild Wings. I've never been there, and
I'm sure they're great.
I don't even know why I just said that. But I just,
they have a lot of sauces.
I pulled it out of nowhere. All right, now. I just got to say this. I can't beat around the bush, so to speak.
Oh no.
Did you see what one of the people testifying against Harvey Weinstein said yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
Graphic.
All right. Harvey Weinstein, the accusations are horrific. Yeah. The casting couch to the nth degree. I mean, just awful. What Harvey Weinstein was accused of. I mean, just kind of what appears to be this dirty old man taking advantage of a powerful Hollywood position.
Yeah.
And you know, you go back and you look at some of the phenomenal Miramax films. Remember the Miramax? Didn't he start Miramax and then the Weinstein Company? They really had some amazing motion pictures.
Good Will Hunting.
Tremendous stories, great films. And to me, that's what films are about. I can't stand the CGI, you know, the computer-generated imagery. I can't stand all the action movie stuff, the Marvel, the DC stuff. I don't like it.
Have you seen the undercover video of him interviewing, like, a woman for, like, some sort of publishing deal?
Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah, and he's like, "I'm working on a Marilyn Monroe movie," and he's like, and then he starts touching her. It is the creepiest, and then he takes her to the back room.
Where do you see this?
On YouTube.
Yeah, you want to play that too? Maybe a big old F-bomb can come right over the air.
No, it's undercover video of him trying to seduce some girl.
Folks, if you want to hear something crazy, Froggy brought up a video a little while ago.
It's supposed to be Aaron Carter
huffing.
Was that 8 o'clock? Was that half an hour ago? Just before 8 o'clock, maybe? Froggy brings up an Aaron Carter video, and the first thing that comes out is, first of all, it sounded like a noise. And then the second thing is just Aaron Carter yelling the F-bomb. And
it's live
on the air. I hit the dump button, so I removed it from Q105, 104.7, but it still goes over the stream, which that's not federally regulated, so it doesn't matter. We can do the F-bombs all day long on the stream. But if you want to hear what happened that caught us all off guard, yeah, go back and listen to our podcast today or watch MJ TV and see our reactions in the studio on camera. So right around 8 o'clock. Just before 8 o'clock, and I couldn't push that dump button fast enough. But that's the kind of the nightmare I would have. It's like, you know, oh my God, something terrible happens. There's a big old curse word on the air.
You can't push it.
I've got to run to the, I got to push the red dump button and oh my, I can't reach it.
Your legs don't work.
My arm doesn't work and my fingers are broken and I can't push the button. All right, so Harvey Weinstein, this is terrible. According to one of the women accusing Harvey Weinstein of sexual assault, she described his male genitalia as, quote, disgusting, and said it looked like it had been chopped off and sewed back on.
What?
Ew. What the?
What's the matter with it?
I gotta see a picture of it now.
I have to.
I wonder, so she has to describe it like that, so then the jury can then see pictures and be like, yeah, that's an accurate description. She must have seen it.
This is Jane Doe number two. I can't read. She says, "I really didn't see a full. I literally just saw a.
What's a
I can't say it.
Can you give me a rhyming word?
During his opening statement, the prosecutor told the jury and the alleged victims that they would end up describing the disgraced producer's deformities in detail. Because of an infection, his blank were actually taken from his and put onto his inner. I mean, I don't know.
It's because
what,
he is.
What is going on with Harvey Weinstein's junk?
How many women has he slept with that his ween's about to fall off?
Okay, so I didn't realize, but I just pulled up a list of some of the real, like, A-list actors who accused him. I didn't realize. Well, Gwyneth Paltrow, I think I'd heard that. Angelina Jolie.
Yep.
Rose McGowan, we of course know about her. Mira Sorvino, Kate Beckinsale, Claire Forlani.
There's a long list of women that have accused Harvey Weinstein, and I believe it. Guy's a total creep and cretin. All right, so I just, when I heard that this woman, Jane Doe number two, said his unit was disgusting and it looked like it had been chopped off and sewn back on, I'm like, oh my God.
Whoa.
It's like it got caught in a wood chipper or something.
Literally.
That's just total insanity. You saw that Gisele Bündchen was spotted now relaxing in Costa Rica. Now, it looked like the kids were with her. Don't these kids have school?
Or they could have a teacher that travels with them?
Yeah, it's called homeschool.
I know. I've heard of it. Yes, I have. But Gisele Bündchen, she's now, I guess, living her best life. So following the Tom Brady divorce, now we've got Gisele Bündchen, 42, smiling just ear to ear. She was photographed just walking around. It looked like with her kids in Costa Rica.
You don't want her going there alone.
Too late now. Have at it, kid.
Costa Rican surf instructors, kayak renter guys.
She's going to fall for a kayak renter?
Yeah, or some sort of scuba instructor. Come on now.
Or if she wants to...
It's Costa Rica, that's all that's there.
Become a lesbian. There are a lot of beautiful Costa Rican women, or from that. What I've heard.
What? Are you suggesting that she's going to go lesbian now?
No, I'm not suggesting that, but we're talking about this pool of hot Costa Rican guys. I think the women
there are suggesting that she's going to hook up with a hot Costa Rican woman?
No.
I mean, now we're talking.
No, I'm just talking about Costa Rica in general, what it's known for.
You just said she's going to go lesbian.
I don't know. What is...
I said if she decided to do that.
I don't... What is Costa Rica known for? I don't know what Costa Rica is known for.
Surfing and hot guys.
Nice beaches. Probably several very...
No, I want to hear from Roxanne. What are you getting at? I just don't know what you're getting at.
What is it known for, Roxanne?
Tell us.
Give us the culture.
Have you guys ever traveled to Costa Rica?
No, I have never been to... I've been to Belize. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Belize, but... I've never been to Costa Rica.
I have never been to Costa Rica myself.
So how are you an expert on what goes on in Costa Rica?
Because I have friends who've gone there.
And they've come back very different.
And I just, from what I understand, certain parts offer certain services.
What?
I mean, prostitution.
What? Oh, so it's loaded with hookers?
What kind of friends are you hanging with?
I'm just not all.
Do you have friends that have used hookers in Costa Rica?
No, I don't. I just
name some names. Dunice.
How about Kettle?
Kettle.
I'm it's not prevalent throughout Costa Rica, but certain parts.
All right.
Yeah.
You can probably get whatever you want around there.
Gisele was spotted with her two kids, with Benjamin 12 and Vivian 9. I guess they're going to share custody of the kids, but I mean, it's the early part of November, and I'm wondering, wouldn't these kids be better served being at school?
What's Tom doing? He's sitting home eating Cheetos, laying around, making a mess?
You know, they don't go to, like, Theodore Roosevelt Elementary, MJ. I mean, they have a private tutor who travels around with them.
Great. Yeah, I heard, too, something else I've read about this is, if you're concerned about Gisele, if she's on her own now, what's it going to be like? I guess she's been on her own quite a bit during Tom's whole playing career.
Ooh.
So she's used to doing things.
Are you suggesting that this was a long time coming?
I'm suggesting that there's not going to be a learning curve of what it's like to be single because she's been doing it kind of solo.
You know, there was a rumor that, I mean, here you've got like what people would consider two beautiful people. And there was a rumor that they weren't very intimate.
You just made that rumor up.
I did not.
Who doesn't want to sleep with that? I sleep with Tom Brady every night.
I read that somewhere that
You read it?
I can't remember where I read it, but I read it somewhere.
How would we know that?
Why don't you look it up and do some research, and you'll find out that it's out there.
I can't risk injuring my lower back, babe. Got a game on Sunday.
I've got a warning, folks. We're moving along. We've got a warning. Warning from the National Park Service. They are asking visitors to stop licking toads to get high.
No way.
Bufos?
I would imagine.
Probably not. Bufos will probably kill you, right?
No, I think that's what they do. I think they'll kill animals, but maybe humans, they just take you to the edge.
The whole toad licking thing. I'm not making this up. There is a post from the National Park Service, and they put out a PSA, a public service announcement, and they're pleading with parkgoers to stop licking toads. Listen to this post. These toads have prominent parotoid glands that secrete a potent toxin. It can make you sick if you handle the frog or get the poison in your mouth. As we say with most things, you come across in a national park, whether it be a banana slug, unfamiliar mushroom, or a large toad with glowing eyes in the dead of the night, please refrain from licking. Thank you.
I'll lick a toad.
I mean, you give me a toad and I'll lollipop it up.
I'll eat a banana. What was it?
Banana slug.
I'll eat that thing like it's a banana.
So, it's like Yosemite escargot.
Ugh.
Are people doing it to get high, or are they doing it for, like, irony? Like, I'm going to kiss a toad and then marry a prince or something.
I don't think anyone's licking a toad unless they're trying to get high.
I think they're expecting a prince.
Yeah, it's not that you're going to marry a prince after you kiss the amphibian. Is that what it is?
I think it's like I've kissed a lot of...
The toad is supposed to turn into the prince, Roxanne.
Okay.
You don't just, like, and then turn around, and there he is. It's the toad is the prince.
Oh.
I just want to mention this. I'm not going to dwell on it. This is crazy. A 22-year-old woman had something removed from her body and now wears it around her neck in like acrylic. Thank you. A clear.
Those are two tricky words to put next to you. They fit, but it's
clear
just,
and clear acrylic. I just had a hard time saying. So this woman, 22 years old, had something removed from her body, and she now wears this item inside this clear acrylic, like round pendant, and she now wears it as a necklace. Do you guys have any idea what this woman had removed and she wears around her neck?
I have a guess, Louie.
Yes. What do you think it is?
Kidney stone.
That was my guess. Not a bad guess, though.
Because you have to ask yourself what else would fit in there.
Froggy, not a bad guess.
Thank you. I was thinking about doing it with one of mine.
But no, kidney stone is incorrect. Roxanne, do you have another guess since Froggy used kidney stone?
I just have disgusting guesses, so I'm going to recuse myself.
Yeah.
Well.
Like what?
Like what?
I don't know, like an ovarian cyst?
No, but you're getting close.
I feel sick.
That was disgusting.
But hold on. But Roxanne, you're getting very, very close.
Does she have like her fallopian tubes on around her neck?
Did you say fallopian tubes?
Wouldn't it make a nice chain?
Survey says!
What?
Yes! Yeah. Yes! Number one answer on the board. Yes, this 22-year-old woman had her fallopian tubes removed. She says she never wants to have kids, and she wears them in a little necklace around her neck, her fallopian tubes.
Mm.
My God.
That's hardcore.
Tell me about it. All right, when we get back here on the MJ Morning Show, I got some holiday issues here. We got some holiday hardships and sign of the times. With the economy, we'll give you the latest on this tropical storm, this Nicole, which is supposed to become a hurricane, and things I think are looking better for the Tampa Bay area. We're supposed to have Dennis Phillips on next hour. Hold on, we're back in a minute. Don't move. We have a long chunk of the MJ Morning Show next here on Q105. Stand by.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. It is 8:55 here at the MJ Morning Show, and I want to go right to Dennis Phillips. Dennis Phillips from ABC Action News, who obviously works the late gig, you know, the 11 o'clock news, and typically is not up this early, so I do appreciate you getting up, Dennis.
Yeah, my pleasure. We were tracking stuff all night, and truth be told, not only have I been tracking, so I watched House of Dragon for the first time like a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah,
and I had never watched Game of Thrones ever, so I've been binging Game of Thrones like every night until about 4 or 5 in the morning while I've been tracking hurricane stuff.
Oh, so, wow! Now is your wife Robin staying up with you in the middle of the night?
Oh no. You know, the kids are upstairs sleeping. She's upstairs sleeping. And I mean, I've made it through 6 seasons in about a week.
Holy moly. All right, so listen, yeah. Dennis, interesting that you bring this up, because I was never into the whole medieval and the Dungeons and Dragons stuff. And, you know, all of my friends had always said, oh, Game of Thrones, you got to watch Game of Thrones. When the pandemic first hit back in early 2020, Michelle and I, we binge watched Game of Thrones back during the beginning of the pandemic. And we got through all of it. I loved it. It turns out that I loved it. And then we have actually started watching The House of the Dragon from the beginning.
Yeah, it's funny because I watched over the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, I've caught 2 episodes of Game of Thrones. I watched The Red Wedding and I watched the finale.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. I watched 2 episodes. So I kind of know what's all going to happen, but it never made sense. So after watching House of the Dragon, I really liked it. So I just went in, and again, I've caught, like I said, I'm almost done with season 6, and I've done that in 8 days. So
that's pretty.
I mean, so yes, I've been up all night tracking the storm, but also watching Game of Thrones.
There you go. All right. So Dennis Phillips, Mr. Suspenders, by the way, I told your suspenders story on the air yesterday.
Yeah, people are like, why in the world do you wear those ridiculous suspenders? I go, well, you know, there actually is a story to it. It's not a particularly compelling story, but it is a story.
And for those that missed it yesterday, because I had dinner with Dennis Phillips and his wife Robin and my wife Michelle. We had dinner at Massimo's on Saturday night. I wanted to take Dennis out to thank him, because during Hurricane Ian, Dennis was just so available for us. And we would do hour-long segments live on the MJ Morning Show with Dennis as we, you know, had this hurricane bearing down on us. And then, of course, it took a turn. So Dennis told me the story with this. And we'll get into, folks, I promise, we'll get into Subtropical Storm Nicole here in just a matter of moments. But it looks like it's pulling away from the Tampa Bay area with these model runs. But we'll get into that in a minute. But the suspenders, I told the story. I can recap this in 15 seconds. So back during Charlie, Jay Crawford, the old sports guy, had recommended that, hey, you know, you get a couple of pairs of suspenders. And it turns out that you did like 36 hours on your live back in 2004 with Hurricane Charlie. And you took your sport coat off and your suspenders was visible. And then after the fact, Channel 28 did some kind of research and they asked, who did you watch for Hurricane Charlie coverage? And some guy said, I don't know his name, but he wore suspenders. And your news director said, that's it. You're now wearing suspenders every day.
Oh my God. That is why
Dennis Phillips has not had a jacket on and has suspenders on every single weathercast.
Yeah. And it was, you know, prior to 2004, prior to Charlie. I mean, I had a jacket on every day, and it wasn't just a single guy. It was a bunch of people. It was like the overwhelming response. No idea what the dude's name was, but he was wearing a pair of suspenders. And my boss goes, yeah, that's your new shtick. So
that's it. All right. So Subtropical Storm Nicole, which is expected to hit the East Coast as a hurricane, a Category 1. But Dennis, you know, when yesterday afternoon, this thing was looking like it was going to hit like, I don't know, Boca or Delray Beach or West Palm. Now it keeps moving further north up the coast. And yesterday, Dennis, the model run had a set, or the model runs, had the storm almost right on top of us in the Tampa Bay area and then taken a right-hand turn north. And now the latest model runs have this significantly further north of the Tampa Bay area.
Yeah, they do, but I want to stress to a lot of folks, so, you know, we're used to most tropical storms or hurricanes where most of the wind is right around that center. I mean, right, we see the point, we see the little hurricane icon, and you think, all right, well, within 15, 20 miles of that center, that's where most of the wind is going to be. This is a completely different situation. It's kind of good and bad. The good news is because it's, well, the reason it's subtropical, I mean, you know, tropical storms have those winds around the center. Subtropical or extratropical, which is a winter storm, like the no-name storm for folks who remember that back in the early 90s, you know, those winds extend hundreds of miles out. So instead of having a lot of wind around the middle, you have a little less wind and even maybe significantly less wind, but in a much larger area. So with this storm, where it makes landfall really isn't as important for the wind as it would be with a normal system. I mean, the entire state is going to get tropical storm force wind gusts. And I'll tell you, even though it may be a minimal hurricane when it hits, the hurricane winds are not going to be the big issue with this. And for the Bay Area, it's not going to be an issue at all. I mean, I've been saying this for a couple of days now. You should expect 2, maybe 3 inches of rain, more inland. Yet again, Polk County gets hit more than any place else. But they're going to see winds of, you know, gusting maybe 50, 55. Think of our afternoon thunderstorm, but think of it lasting for 12 to 18 hours. That's kind of what it's going to be. And it's not going to be steady, by the way. I mean, you're going to have bands that'll come through. In those bands, there'll be gusts of 50, 55 inland, maybe 40, 45 closer to the beach. And then it'll just be breezy for the next hour or so. And then you'll get another band that'll come in. And then that'll give us the heavier wind. But, you know, it's not a huge deal for the Bay Area. Unfortunately, areas south, you know, areas that were just devastated by Ian, they're going to get less wind and they're going to get less rain out of this. So, you know, it might be kind of for a tropical storm. At that point, it should be a tropical storm, maybe even a hurricane. For you know, what you think about, which could be a really bad situation, it's probably going to end up being not nearly as bad as it could have been.
You know, I'm looking at tropical tidbits. I'm looking at some of the, I'm looking at the 12 Zulu, you know, model run here with, you know, the spaghetti strands. And I mean, it really looks now like it's going to roll in at like Daytona or even further north, like maybe even like the Cape or Flagler. I mean, it looks like it just keeps pushing north. Do you think that it's going to end up like being a Jacksonville event by the time this thing is said and done?
I mean, wherever, and again, wherever the center crosses, I'm thinking more Space Coast or a little bit north of the Space Coast, but it doesn't really matter. Yep. The entire state's going to get these tropical storm force winds. So, I mean, I know we're so used to thinking, where is that eye going to be? Where's the center going to be? Because that's where the worst of the weather is going to be. With this storm, that's just not the case. Now, for storm surge, you know, just north of the center, that is where the bigger threat will be, and that's not for the West Coast.
Right, and of course, we're on the cleaner side, not the dirtier upper right front, or the northeast quadrant. We're on the cleaner side, so we don't have to worry about storm surge per se.
Right, we don't have to worry about tornadoes either. But right. the only way this could be an issue for water building for us is if this were to go more west, to make it into the Gulf, and then the nature coast, like, you know, Hernando County and Citrus and Levy, those areas might have to deal with a bit of water. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's really the only situation where it could be an issue. I don't know if you remember, well, I'm sure you do, back in 04 with Charlie, we had Francis and Gene as well.
Yep.
And one of them, you know, Francis, I believe it was, you know, went right across the state and then ended up exiting around Tarpon. And once it hit the water, then you don't have the friction of the air over the land. You have less friction over water. And Tarpon was getting winds of 80, 85. All of a sudden, it got a bit stronger. Like you said, as long as this track continues to push more east, that's just not going to be an issue with this one.
You know, I just remember, Dennis, over the years, and you're even more in tune to this than I am, and being a radio guy and have covered so many of these things over the years, I just know that we've had some of these storms where it wasn't going to be a direct hit, but it was going to be close enough that we thought we were going to get some nasty bands and nasty tropical storm force winds. And for whatever reason, we end up being just outside of the significant areas where we would get significant rain or wind.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case for anywhere west of Polk County again. But remember, again, because that wind field is so massive, there's no way around it. We're going to get 2-3 inches of rain. You can never know exactly where the heaviest rain bands will set up. You know that. I mean, it sets up where it sets up. And it doesn't necessarily even mean it's right near the center. Sometimes it can be 100 miles away from the center. But because the wind field is so big. I mean, I was showing this yesterday. This big yellow blob of wind is larger than most any I've seen in a long time. And now the good news out of that, it keeps it from developing faster. A bigger storm like that, it takes a lot longer for it to kind of gather strength and momentum. So it's going to take longer to get that area that we'd be concerned about, which would be 75 to, you know, 85, 90 mile an hour winds. I'm real confident that this is going to be a, you know, the Bay Area along the coast up toward maybe Lakeland might see gusts of 40 to 50, you know, maybe Highlands now, like you said, with the track more north, even Highlands is probably more out of the woods in terms of the heaviest wind. There's going to be, you know, a squally day with bands of 40 to 45, maybe gusting up to 50, some isolated power outages, some tree branches down. But again, for our area, just not a huge deal. I mean, certainly not the greatest day and one that you wouldn't necessarily want to drive around in, but I don't see any kind of damage in terms of structural, anything like that. And on the East Coast, the bigger threat we all know is water, and there's going to be some surge, maybe 2 to 3 feet just north of the center, but not nearly as bad as I think some folks were saying originally and as a lot of folks fear after Ian, with good reason, because a lot of folks are shell-shocked.
You know, I'm looking at the latest advisory. It's the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Advisory, the intermediate. And, of course, that would be, I guess, we know it as the 8 a.m., but I guess they use the Atlantic Standard Time or whatever they. So it's 7 a.m. advisory for Subtropical Storm Nicole. And event-wise, the timing-wise, it looks like it's going to hit the east coast of Florida, wherever it's going to be, around the Space Coast or wherever. Looks like it's the overnight hours on early Thursday morning, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3, somewhere in that vicinity. And then as far as it rolling across the state and close to the Tampa Bay area, that could be, you know, sometime in the afternoon on Thursday. So that's going to be the event window. Oh, and Dennis, I'm looking now at the latest advisory, and I'm seeing the giant yellow wind field that you were talking about. And it's the tropical storm wind field. I got to be honest, it is either shaped like a butt or it is shaped like Stewie's head from Family Guy.
You know, I see both.
And it's huge. It's huge.
It's a big, huge butt just out in the Atlantic.
It is.
Yes, the wind field.
And that's kind of why I'm saying it's really less important where it makes landfall for the wind field for us, because it does. It covers the entire state. And by the way, the advisories come out at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. now because we're no longer daylight saving time. So,
right. Oh, there we go. Know, okay.
Yeah. So that's why.
Hey, do me a favor, Dennis. I think it'd be great if you actually, when you go on later today, are you going to do, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock? What's your first hit today on Channel 28?
I think either 4 or 5. Not really sure. Election Day coverage is kind of changing stuff.
Oh, that's true. I think you ought to point out that the wind field looks like a giant butt.
And it's blowing a lot of wind.
Right. Or
that'll work.
Or Stewie's head from Family Guy. So
yeah, I can probably get away with Stewie's head a little bit easier than the big butt comment. That's just kind of
all right, Dennis Phillips, ABC Action News. Hey, we had a great time at Massimo's on Saturday night in Palm Harbor, and I just wanted to take you out to dinner and thank you for, you know, being so available for us during Ian, you know, back in September.
Well, I appreciate it. It was a great time, and I'll tell you, it was funny because anybody who listens to MJ, you know, you got to figure, and my wife and I, since we had never met you before, you know, a little hesitant because you just never know with, you know, how a conversation is going to go with people that you've really never met personally. The greatest thing about the dinner, your wife, just Michelle, one, she's amazing. And two, she owns the table because that woman tells some amazing stories. She's really funny.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing about MJ.
Yeah, the best thing about MJ is
his wife, Michelle.
Is his wife.
That's correct. I love it.
Best thing.
No, We had a fantastic time. And Dennis, I met you, you probably don't remember, But I was so starstruck, you know, the suspenders and everything. But I, for whatever reason, I was with one of the kids years ago at International Plaza, and you were sitting alone having dinner in the food court.
Oh, probably over Chick-fil-A or something over there. Yeah.
You came up and bugged him?
No, I just said, hey, Dennis, I'm MJ from, you know, the MJ Morning Show.
And Let the man eat in peace.
We talked for like a minute. I said hi. So that was it. That was probably 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, I used to go over there for dinner all the time between shows.
Hey, listen, Dennis, great to have you on. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, see you guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Hi.
All right, Dennis Phillips, ABC Action News, and ABC Action News is our media partner for weather events, so that's why we have Dennis on. And who said I'm cheating on Paul?
I did, and I think Froggy did also.
All right, listen, Paul Delgado is a longtime friend of mine.
Does he know about this little get-together last Saturday?
This fling, if
does
you will.
Does he know about it?
I think I told him that I was taking Dennis.
Did you call
Dennis
him preemptively and tell him? Or did you tell him after the fact?
I think I told him like weeks and weeks ago that I got to take Dennis out to dinner because he did a great job for us.
Yeah, and Paul's like, okay.
Paul Delgado from Fox is a great friend. Dennis is becoming a good friend. And this, hey, Dennis and Paul
are
great.
Who do you like better?
Who do you like better? Dennis and Paul are good friends.
They are. That is true.
They talk all the time. Dennis and Paul, you know, have known each other for years.
All right.
So
you're trying to crash their friend group.
Can you think of a more boring conversation than two weathermen going out? It's a low pressure. No, it's a high pressure.
Hey, the breaking news that we had on Leonard Fournette, you saw that the story got picked up all over the place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We were absolutely first because the owner of the restaurant, is it Suko-san? Was that the name of it?
The sushi place in Wesley Chapel?
So. Yeah, yeah. So the owner of Suko-san, the Japanese restaurant and sushi bar in Wesley Chapel, and the owner got a hold of us.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Oh, Fessy, you were in Mexico,
I was
right?
In Mexico.
Yeah. Roxanne, bring up your story, because Suko-san. So it's Z-U-K-K-U, Suko-san is the Japanese restaurant in Wesley Chapel. And the owner contacted me to say, hey, you're not going to believe this. Leonard Fournette from the Buccaneers was in, and he dropped a $1,000 tip on an $85 check. And we broke the story here on the MJ Morning Show. This was last week. We broke the story, and I think we broke it on Monday. Then on Tuesday, we actually had the server on. His name is Tim, and we had the server on. He told the whole story, and then, Roxanne, you did a little write-up on the MJMorningShow.com website.
I did.
And then, you see, the story got picked up, like Sports Illustrated and all kinds of other sources picked up the story.
Wow. About.
But just so you know, the Leonard Fournette story started right here. Mm-hmm. Days before anybody else on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
All right.
What are you laughing at?
Days before. It's not like breaking.
Days before. It's the biggest news of the century.
Okay. It's very generous of Leonard.
Weeks before.
Okay. All right. We broke it.
Minutes before.
It's not like breaking election news.
Breaking news. Speaking of Election Day, folks, whoever you like, whoever you're voting for, just make sure you vote. Today is Election Day. It's a midterm, and I think it's going to be a pretty active midterm. And obviously, things are very polarized. We don't do politics here on the MJ Morning Show, and I like it that way. But whatever you do, exercise your right to vote today. Polls open 7 to 7. Michelle and I, we voted early on Sunday. We voted a half an hour before kickoff, and the place was jammed. I thought, we'll just go right before. And my plans were, it's going to be empty right before kickoff. No, it was jammed down at the Jan Platt Library in South Tampa.
I feel like sometimes it's jammed for early voting, and then on election day, it's not that bad.
You know, I typically vote at the Catholic Church in South Tampa, right on Dale Mabry.
Christ the King?
Is it Christ the King? I guess it is Christ. Well, the carnival is, the King. That's my voting place. But early voting was, I did the location on South Manhattan at the library. This is crazy. Did you have? Hold on. Before I move on to the crazy meteorite story, you had an Aaron Carter kind of update fester, didn't you?
You know what? I did, and I closed it during Dennis's. No, here it is. Is what? This?
No,
I don't know.
No, it was a Daily Mail piece. What's wrong with you? I told you to hold on to it.
Why, right,
would you,
back up.
Why would you close it?
I'll pull it back. I was so captivated by listening to the two of you guys talk
why
about.
Why would you leave the windows alone?
There we go. I got 100 of them running here.
All right, here we go.
Aaron Carter was a nightmare neighbor, according to the people that live next door to him.
Yeah, so Fester found this story this morning in the Daily Mail. And the headline is exclusive. Aaron Carter was a nightmare neighbor at the California house where he passed, as neighbors claim he was arrogant, frequently argued with off and on girlfriend, and blasted music so loud that it could be heard several houses away.
So Aaron Carter, when you think, if you want to put him in the category of celebrity, he did not live in a neighborhood that you would think a celebrity would live in.
No, and yeah. You know, his house was very modest.
Right.
He didn't have money, that's why.
But you'd think, he had a couple of hit songs, he must live in a Hollywood mansion, a Beverly Hills mansion.
No, not at all, just a normal, regular house.
I've never heard of the town of Lancaster, California, but that's where the house was located, or is located. That's where he died.
Now, you had a quote in this story from a neighbor.
Right here, they say, start talking to neighbors, and neighbor says, I'm sad what happened and that he died. But now we don't have to deal with it.
Oh, man.
I wish he would have just been able to sell his house and move away. But now we just don't have to deal with it. He was a terrible neighbor.
So the neighbors hated him. But here's a neighbor saying that he was a terrible neighbor, sad what happened, that he died. But they don't have him as a neighbor anymore.
All right, so he bought his house in November of 2020 for $620,000 in California.
Wonder if he borrowed that money from Nick.
And then it's up for sale right now for $799.
Right.
No, they never, rekindled, I don't think. They had a bad relationship.
Yeah, I know.
Aaron had problems with several of his neighbors on his street. At least three times they've called the police on him.
Yep.
He said neighbors could hear him fighting with his girlfriend. They were afraid to do anything to him because they were afraid that his fans would backlash against them. Aaron would put out on his socials, hey man, my neighbor's a real douche, and then they're like, the house would get burned down by some crazy Aaron Carter fan.
All right, speaking of California, I gotta talk about this meteorite story. This guy thinks his house burned to the ground because it was hit by a meteorite.
Wouldn't the fire investigator be able to tell that pretty quickly?
Yeah, you'd think. And what about, is there a chunk of meteorite that's in the wreckage of the home, in the ruins, in the ashes? Did it penetrate the ground? I mean, if your house burns down by being hit from a meteorite,
yeah.
I mean, you almost want to hope that at least there's a huge, giant chunk of meteorite from outer space that you can at least keep as a memento.
Does it belong to you if it burns your house down?
Dude, if it lands on your property, it's yours.
Is that space debris law?
Like Joe Dirt? Dang, a meteor.
You know what? Let me do a Google search for space debris lawyers.
I don't know. It's probably out there.
Yeah. Now, this happened in Nevada County, California. So Nevada County is in Northern California. And people there were watching the sky as this massive fireball was shooting across the sky on Friday night. And witnesses came from all over Northern California, all over the area. They were following the path of the bright ball to see if they could see where it landed. And it looks like it landed right on Dustin Procida's home.
Oh,
he said he was inside the house with his two dogs when he said something hit his home and started a fire. He said, quote, I heard a big bang. Big Bang Theory. He said, I started to smell smoke. I went onto the porch, and it was completely engulfed in flames.
Wow.
Yeah, this guy's lucky. That thing could have gone through his roof and hit him on the head. He lives in this quiet rural area, rolling hills, lots of cattle grazing. He said the area is home to multi-generational cattle farmers and ranchers. He had just fed the cows and sat down on his couch listening to music when suddenly, bam, his home was hit. He was able to save one of his dogs, a rat terrier, but tried to get inside to get the other family dog, but couldn't save the other dog. The dog died in the fire.
Poor dog. That's tragic.
Yeah, it is.
Killed by a meteor.
I tried to go around to the windows, but the fire and smoke was dumping through. I couldn't see inside. Penn Valley Fire Department Captain Josh Miller said, They got a call around 7:30 for a structural fire, but because of the secluded location, knew that they would have a, quote, firefight on their hands, wide open spaces, and this was out on a farm, a cattle ranch, not much around it. Firefighters, along with Smartsville Fire Department, Cal Fire, they're the ones that fight all the wildfires, they put the flames out after battling them for 4 hours. It was a four-hour event. Everyone I talked to said it was a flaming ball falling from the sky, landed in that general area. I mean, it just makes sense that it was the meteorite that hit the guy's house. Is that incredible?
Yeah. Question.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is more likely? To win the Powerball or to get hit and killed by a meteorite?
Guess what? He makes a comment about that.
Oh, does he? Huh.
He said that he heard that the odds are 1 in 4 trillion that his house would be hit. So he said, I guess I might be buying a lottery ticket today.
Yep, good idea.
So how many trucks would we need and how many meteors would we need to fill up?
Stop being a wise ass. But people were following the fireball and then it went down. They lost it on the horizon. Next thing you know, his house is on fire. Something goes boom. He said, I had one individual tell me about it first, and I put it in the back of my mind. Then more people, 2, 3, 4, started coming in and talking about the meteorite in the sky and that it came down. So he and his wife are going to try to pick up the pieces. He said they're going to play the lottery now. But, I mean, they need to see if they can find the meteorite because that's valuable. Meteorites can be very, very valuable. But can you imagine? This thing's like the size of a pickup truck, and then as it flames across the sky, now it's the size of a basketball, and then it's the size of a softball, then it's the size of a golf ball. Hits the guy's house, and then it ends up like a grain of sand.
Yeah, it's just...
And it can't even be found among the dirt and debris.
Dust at this
point.
I mean,
if your house is going to get wrecked, at least have a giant sizable chunk of meteorite to have as a coffee table item or something, you know? All right, final chunk of the MJ Morning Show is next, and we got a lot. Oh, Froggy, I want you to guess something.
Oh, I love guessing games.
And did you see what's going on with Jeff Bezos and Jay-Z?
No.
This is very exciting.
It is. Jeff Bezos and Jay-Z. You know what I'm talking about? Jay-Z. All right, that and a whole lot more next. On the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Breaking news on the MJ Morning Show. They still haven't drawn the damn Powerball. They think now it might be Ohio. It might be the state of Ohio that's to blame here. What is going on? I just printed something out from Fox 8 in Cleveland.
The dump of the Midwest. Of course they'd be holding this up.
This is from WJW Television, Fox 8 in Cleveland. Many woke up Tuesday morning eager to find out if they were a billionaire and the winner of the largest Powerball jackpot ever, only to find out the drawing had been delayed. If you go to Powerball website, the post says results pending. If you go to their website, it is a cheesy, chintzy splash page. Their regular website is also down. Officials say the record-breaking $1.9 billion Powerball drawing was delayed because of a participating lottery had issues processing their sales. Tuesday morning, the Ohio Lottery posted to social media, Powerball has strict security requirements that must be met by all 48 lotteries before a drawing can occur. Ohio lottery officials tell Fox 8, Ohio is not the cause of the delay.
Oh.
All right. But the headline, if you go to If you go to Fox 8's original story, it says Powerball drawing still delayed. Is Ohio to blame?
Oh, so it's a question. It's not like there's every state's going to say, is Florida to blame? Is Puerto Rico to blame?
So I'm reading from the Fox 8 website, and that's the headline right now. Powerball drawing delayed. Is Ohio to blame? And then they claim that Ohio officials say, nope, not us. It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
All right. I apologize to Ohio for calling it the dump of the Midwest. Although it's true, I apologize.
No, I'm going through, let me go through Google News here again. I don't see, I'm just looking for stories that just published in the last couple of minutes.
There's, I'm looking too.
There's never going to know. They may not ever tell us.
No. It'll come out. Folks, they still have not drawn the Powerball.
Oh, 4 minutes ago. 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, what?
Powerball winning numbers drawn in record $1.9 billion jackpot.
Oh, wait a second. Hold on a minute. Wait, this
breaking
is
breaking news.
So they just were drawn. Okay. Do we have the winning numbers? Do you have them handy?
The winning numbers. You want me to go through this?
No.
Yeah, yes.
We're not.
What are the winning numbers?
10. Oh, these are like all my favorite numbers. I should have played. Okay. 10, 33, 41, 47, and 56.
Those are my favorite too.
Oh, my God.
With the Powerball of 10.
All right.
Are you sure?
Are you sure those are the right numbers?
Yep. Yeah. The wing 10, 33, 41,
47,
56 with a Powerball of 10.
I don't know. That doesn't sound right.
Is this right? All right. Powerball released a statement on Powerball.net at 4:37 a.m. Tuesday morning, explaining the numbers had not been drawn due to a technical issue. The second time in Powerball history, the jackpot has surpassed $1 billion. Last one was $1.586 billion. That was back in January of 2016. And so we're sure these are the... Go to the Powerball. Well, let me go to the Powerball. We can't go in the studio, so I got to do it on my cell phone here.
So is this like the most anticlimactic thing ever?
What do you want to happen?
I mean, just...
What do you want, the place get hit by a meteorite? Or what do you want to happen?
That would never happen to anybody. Oh, wait, we just did the story.
This is so... It's like... Hey, we're delaying it. By the way, here's the numbers.
And I'm going to the Powerball website, which that was all busted up. All right. No, it says results pending.
Okay.
So why their own website says results pending.
Well, we know their website is terrible.
Wait a minute.
I mean, MJ, pretty reputable sources are saying that the numbers have been drawn about a half an hour ago.
Foxbusiness.com.
All right. Well, there we have it then.
Foxbusiness.com. Hello.
What do they know?
Right?
That's the source. The statement said Powerball has the stringent security requirements to protect the integrity of the game.
Yeah, I'll play the audio again. This was the drawing last night was supposed to happen a minute before 11 p.m. Eastern time. And the Powerball lady came on and, you know, said that, hey, we got a technical problem here.
Good evening, everyone. This is Powerball. I'm Laura Johnson. Because of a technical problem tonight, we are unable to bring you the Powerball drawing at this time. As soon as we're able to resolve the issue and conduct the drawing, it will be available for viewing on Powerball.com and on our YouTube channel, Powerball 39. The Powerball lotteries take pride in the strict standards of this.
All right, so that was what happened last night. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to pick any balls out of our machine tonight. So that was last night. So now apparently they've just been drawn in the last, 10 minutes, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Pretty recently, yeah.
All right, are we sure this is accurate?
Yeah.
10, 33, 41, 47, 56, and the power nugget is a 10.
I don't know if I feel good about this.
In what sense?
This whole thing just...
Something sounds fishy.
Something reeks.
What is it, a big Election Day prank by Fox Business News?
It's not that. It's just this,
all rigged?
It's just, I mean, people report the news, but just the fact that I've never heard of the lottery.
Are you going to become a Powerball denier?
I don't think this person should claim their cash.
Guess what? Breaking news. We're hearing now that Jeff Bezos and Jay-Z are going to try to buy the team formerly known as the Washington Redskins. Now the Washington Commanders.
Wow.
So Jeff Bezos and Jay-Z.
You
You know what? Take the bass line out, will you?
Take the bass line out.
Yeah, sounds a lot better. I don't think it's any Hard Knock Life for Jay-Z.
It hasn't been for a while.
No. Yeah, so Jeff Bezos, Amazon Baldy, and Jay-Z are going to try to buy the Washington Commanders. I guess they're going to put in some kind of an offer in January. And wow. Dan Snyder, who, he's got all kinds of issues, but Dan Snyder said he'd never sell the team. Now it looks like he might. Looks like he engaged the Bank of America and their securities division to try to help consider possible transactions. And Jeff Bezos and Jay-Z are longtime friends. They've been seen yachting together.
Oh, that's right.
They are friends. Yeah. And I'll tell you right now, Bezos and Jay-Z, there's no Hard Knock Life going on here. None at all.
Doesn't Jay-Z own another team, like a basketball team?
He is no longer invested, I think, in the Brooklyn Nets.
Can you buy a small franchise team, like a dartboard team, like league team? Or like a
cornhole team or something?
Yeah, like a cornhole team.
Right? Yeah. Probably could.
I'm going to buy a bowling team.
That's what I'm going to buy. I'm going to buy a bowling team. I was going to say that just before you said that.
Bowling team.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. So Jay-Z and Jeff Bezos, let's see if they end up buying the former Washington Redskins. We shall see. I mentioned the economy, Thanksgiving. I don't want to hear this. You know, speaking of the Hard Knock Life. I'm hoping this is not the case, but reports are 1 in 4 Americans can only afford to spend $100 on Thanksgiving or skipping it entirely.
I read that.
Yeah, you know, food prices up. Turkeys are supposed to be in, hard supply this year. Has anyone had trouble buying a turkey yet?
I haven't tried.
It's a little early to buy a turkey, but...
No, if people buy frozen turkeys.
I get it.
We tend to buy fresh turkeys that haven't been frozen.
And then you shoot them and kill them?
No. Oh. They're already... No. And this year, we're not even doing Thanksgiving. Julian is going to be the only one home because Chloe is going to be in Scotland. They don't do Thanksgiving in Scotland, so she doesn't know off from school. And Julian's coming home, and we said, Julian, what do you want? You want me to fry a turkey again? You want me to do the whole thing? And he's like, no, let's just go out for dinner. So I think we're going to go to, Burn Steakhouse for Thanksgiving dinner.
Fantastic.
Nice. Yeah. That's a great plan.
They're open for Thanksgiving.
So. I love
it. Is that a new place? I've heard of that, I think.
You want to go to a good place for Thanksgiving? Go to Cracker Barrel.
Golden Corral?
That place is awesome. Oh, dude, I told you about the Golden Corral Thanksgiving I had in Orlando a couple years back. Yeah. It was awesome. All the turkey.
With fried, the family?
Oh, my. It was
really
great.
It's a Golden Corral.
Turkey, fried shrimp, the roast beef, the chocolate fountain.
Ooh.
Oh, what a combo. Let's go. The pumpkin pie you could eat. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.